Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to build anticipation either. Some people were hitting me up just now on Twitter, at John Lund Radio. Is this like a concert and everybody starts chanting? We want the show! We want the show! We want the show! Today's show is complicated. You don't want to hear that, though. You don't want to hear how the baby is made. Let's just go. Oh, it is a great day, isn't it? It is a great day. It is John Lund Unleashed. I'm going to get a water in here. I was scrambling. I was sweating because I was watching the chat line. And they're like, bro, let's go. 8 o'clock's 8 o'clock. I was 15 minutes late and had a real job. I'd be like, whoa, we'd be in trouble. And like I said, if 10 o'clock on KNBR, we always made it through. But today is complicated because it's game day for the 49ers against the Rams for what's left of the season. And I did do a preview show. I already did a preview show and posted it. So do I have that already or did I already lose that? Anyway, I do have a show up right now that previews 49ers and Rams in depth. Lots of fancy charts and videos and all sorts of stuff. And you hear from Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, and it's awesome. So make sure that you check that out at John Lund Unleashed. I already have that up at the YouTube page. And you can get it, if you can't link to it, at John Lund Radio and one of my many social media accounts. As you well know, there they are. Wherever you are on social media, I am probably there. So anywhere you want to go, at John Lund Radio. I try to keep it simple, at John Lund Radio. Most of the time I'm on Twitter, so if you want to respond on Twitter, I will get back to you. Also, it has been awesome before we get to anything and the busyness of today to hit up on the comments channel and all those kind of things. Hang on just a second. I'm going to sneeze. All right, I didn't sneeze, but I thought I was going to sneeze. But anyway, on the comments, if you hit me up in the comments after the show, during the show, if you're on the chat line right now, I am watching you. So make sure that you hit me up with any questions, comments. If you're new to the show, thank you so much. Please subscribe, listen, watch. We have a podcast as well by the very same name, and you can get that on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. So if you can't stay for the whole time we're on, and yesterday we were on for about an hour and a half, and we'll probably do the same today or more, just because there's just so much going on from Steve Kerr, and you can see on the chalkboard there, we do everything. The update is, I always do like social media and what we're up to and how we're doing. Axe Unleashed, ask me anything at all. And we'll do that during the week. I think we'll do Ask Unleashed like Wednesdays. Today's Thursday, but we'll do that every Wednesday to just get tons of stuff. So hit me up at John Lund Radio for questions, comments, and I'll flip the best ones and I'll put them on the board so you can see yourself. So hit me up at John Lund Radio in the comment section, and I'll grab those and I'll actually put them on the screen. And you can do it anytime you want. It's not like we have to do it at a certain time, but Wednesdays, I think, is a slower week. So, and I do mean anything at all. Kerr goes off. We'll do that. We'll play the final sequence. But to be honest with you, that's not why they lost the game. But we can get into that conversation. You can disagree or agree. Golden State LeBron. Wendy's at it again. Chapel Bill and the bad jokes. Actually, the sophomoric jokes that are right up my alley, to be honest, that are being thrown around in the internet. But the really interesting part of this whole thing is actually that he essentially got booted out of the NFL after doing all this work. Seth Wickersham is great on ESPN and wrote a tremendous piece this morning, 49ers preview. I won't give you the whole preview, but I'll give you a pretty good preview because I have a whole, like I said, YouTube show podcast out right now that I did yesterday, as promised, on 49ers and Rams. So more extensive in that one, but we will certainly get into that game. Major League Baseball update, which is basically Burns watch. Where's the help, Corbin? Let's go. You know, $245 million, not my money. Let's go. So we'll get into that. Eggnog debate and caboose stuff. So tons of stuff to get to. Thank you, thank you, thank you for staying with us, even though it's already 8:19. I'll make it up to you. I'll make it up to you, I promise. Thanks to Kid G. Martinez, Hurley Bird. Good to see you. Senior softball games. Oh, do I? Man, I could go on a tangent about softball games. Can I do one real quick? 415, love it. It's our guy, Walter. Walter, click us with the, what is it? It's not the Passion for the Passion for the Pastime is this podcast. Passion for the Podcast. Rockin', that's a good call right there. I got to start doing over-under start times for John. It's a good point. Finally in the house, Frisco Native 415. Good to see you, Greg. Monica. Good morning, John Lund. Good morning, Monica. Let's see, who else do we got in here? I want to make sure. Enrique, what's going on? David, how you doing? Jeff was one of the first people in today. I was like, what the hell, bro? Late again, Lund. Yeah, Chris, you're right. I promise it's going to be worth it. Ooh, look at Mick. He's pissed. Sorry. Let's see. That Lund heads. I like that. Hey, yo. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Mick is in there. Did I already mention it? MF is one of my favorite guys. Will Giants sign Burns today? Or Bueller? Bueller. I wouldn't mind Bueller. I'm not pissed about that. We need merch. Good call, bro. You know anybody who can do some good merch? I can do the imaging and stuff like that. Those are my productions. They're not that hard to do. But anyway, good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. Happy Niners game day. Love to get your thoughts on what happened with the Warriors last night. Let's play that final sequence. Let me settle down for a second because I'm late and I'm just like, anything else we missed this morning? I think that's probably it. All right, let's get into some sports. There is a ton, and that's why I was late. Ton to get into today, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to hang for a long time. Tell all your friends, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. By the way, we're over 1,100 in just a week, so thank you. All thanks goes out to you. And somebody, real quick, hit me up yesterday and was congratulating me, and I just said, man, thank you. This is fun. This is so fun to come in here every single day and interact with everybody and grow this community, the John Lund Unleashed community, and I'm just having a ball with it, man, and I hope you can tell. And it's real and genuine, and I'm not just saying that because it's just I'm going back to my roots after 25 years and just having a ton of fun, and I'm really enjoying it. So hopefully it comes across. All right, let's get to that stuff. Did I say I was going to tell a story? I had a great story, and now I just spaced it. It was really good, and I could have done it short. Who just got me going on something like that? God, let's see. Man. I just had a great story for you all to start the show. Oh, well, I guess we're just going to have to go back to our other stuff. What did I switch over to you from KNBR at 8 a.m. Sports Girl for Life, I love you. I'm not just saying that. I love you deeply. I don't know you, but I do now, and I love you deeply. And I'm not going to, like I said, if you're new in here, and I forget to reset these kind of things, I'm not going to bash radio if you're new, and what's London going to say? 28 years on a high wire, which is radio. I am not going to bash it. It is almost put my kid through college. Lots of food on the table, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to bash it. That's not what I do. Oh, softball story. God, you're so good. You tripping. You are so good. Real quick before I get to everything. So I thought that, you know, it's hard to grow older and you think you can do what you used to do. And so I was in a softball league recently and I would race from the city up to Walnut Creek and there would be a there'd be a softball game going on. I used to love playing softball. I'd play all the time. I wasn't that hardcore, angry guy, get in a fight kind of guy. But so I go up there, and a good friend of mine who's a really good athlete says, hey, man, we need another guy. Why don't you just come play on our team? And I said, all right, yeah, cool, sounds great. And, of course, you know, I'm the new guy, and I race up there. You hit traffic because that's what you do in the Bay Area. And so I jump out of my car, throw on my cleats, you know, back to glory days, Springsteen, you know, glory days. And I'm jogging on there thinking, man, I'm going to be so good. And then the first bad sign was they throw me in right field. I'm like the new guy. They throw me in right field. I'm like, really? Right field? So, okay, I'm Lupus from the Bad News Bears. And I'm like, all right, let's go out there. I'll do it. I'll show these guys. So, of course, what happens? No stretching whatsoever. I'm late to the game. I run out to right field, which I'm assigned like Lupus from the Bad News Bears. First ball that gets hit to me. What do you think it is? A line drive down the right field line. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm running, I got to get this ball, man. They stuck me in right field. I'm going to show these guys. I dive. I make the catch. No lie. No lie. No video, but no lie. I make the catch. And I'm thinking, I am the coolest guy. And then, of course, I come up. And for some reason, you would think that the guy that they stuck in right field and was late to the game might hit ninth, might be able to catch my breath. No stretching whatsoever. They put me in the two hole, all right? First guy gets on. What happens to me? First pitch, which is, again, stupid on my part. First pitch, I bounce one down the third baseline very embarrassingly. Don't hit it hard at all, but I look, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to leg this thing out. Are you kidding me? And about halfway, maybe three-quarters of the way down the line, pop, it just goes. Hamstring, groin, the whole thing. I'm not saying one thing. I'm saying everything goes. And so I'm in bad shape. But again, new guy, right field, Lupus, Bad News Bears. I'm on first base, and they're yelling across to me, hey, you okay? And I'm probably one of the older guys on the team. I'm like, oh, yeah, everything's great. Oh, cool, because, you know, I'm kind of limping, and you know I'm hurt. So then what does the next guy do? Hits one in the gap, in like left center field, and here's me, you know, trying to act like I'm not hurt. But, I mean, dude, the groin, the hammy, it's done. And I'm just, I'm sweating, I'm near crying, and I get to third base. And, again, everyone's like, you okay? You good to go? You okay? Because I easily should have scored. Of course I'm not okay. Then the next one, the guy hits one in the gap again. I jog home, and my buddy, who's embarrassed too because nobody else knows me on this team, and they're like, dude bounces one to third, pulls a groin, pulls a hand. What? My friend's name was Jeremy. He's like, Jeremy, what the hell, bro? You brought this guy? Anyway, and then I went to the manager, and I just went, dude, can I catch? Like, it's, you know, bad shape. I can barely even catch. And catching is worse than right field in softball because it was slow pitch. It's like catcher, you know. You're really bad if you're the catcher. Anyway, yeah, I'm not what he used to be, man. Not what he used to be. And then, of course, I didn't go back because they're just like, hey, you know, you're decent enough. You can come back. I'm like, no, I played one game. Master Batters, that's the name of our team. Of course, that's so sophomore. We were the Master Batters, and I wore Juan Soto's 22. I should pull up that jersey. It's nice looking. Master Batters. One game. That was it. Done. I'm not kidding you. Ripped out my hamstring and my groin. And I'm trying to run with one leg. You know, you okay out there? Oh, yeah. Never been better. Never been better. All right. You've got a story like that, don't you? Where you know, where you're just like, it's it. Like, I thought I could still play softball. I thought I could be athletic. Like, I'm not even, like, I don't even want to try pickleball. And like, old, where are you going? Pickleball. I can't even do that. How unathletic I am, but then I sit and bitch and moan about athletes who can actually play. What's wrong with that guy? Meanwhile, I'm pulling hamstrings in softball games. Isn't that ironic? All right, let's go. Screwed around long enough. Let's get into the Warriors first. I would generally start with the 49ers on a 49ers game day, and we will certainly get to that. But the big story in sports, really, was the Warriors last night. They lose 91-90 in the Cup game. By the way, how about that court? How horrendous was that court? I told you about the Denver – well, I didn't tell you about it. You probably saw the game. The Denver court last week or the week before, which was bright yellow, was burning my eyes. They're burning! And then the Houston court, even Steve Kerr said – what did he say yesterday? It was like walking into the depths of hell, which I have a great AC/DC story, but if I tell that, then it's like, are you kidding me? I'll just do it really, really quickly. I was overserved, might have had some psychedelic drugs in me. This was, I don't know, early 2000s, and there's these red lights, and AC/DC's playing Highway to Hell, and I'm about, I don't know, top 10 rows, and I look back, and these lights are flashing red. Angus Young is up there, you know, doing what Angus Young does, and everyone in the crowd, in unison, is chanting with a fist up in the air, Highway to Hell! Highway to Hell! And I'm, and honestly, in my messed up mind at that point, and it was psychedelically glowing, and you could see everything. It was wild. I look up and I'm like, I look to my friend and I go, we're in hell. We're really in hell. That's it. I'm not going to tell a long story. Just quick. All right. Here's what happened last night. Let's get it together. Here is the final sequence from last night. The Warriors lost 91-90 to the Rockets. Get knocked out of that big Cup game. What will we ever do? If you missed it, here's how it went down.
As Brooks chases Curry, and everyone's standing here in Houston, Curry steps back on a launch. He missed it. Fight for the rebound. Payton poked away 5 seconds, but does Green have possession? And Billy Kennedy says foul on the Warriors.
What a sequence of events. As Steve Kerr is in disbelief.
Golden State is out of fouls, and so that will result in free throw.
All right, you saw it. Steve Kerr is a meme. Buddy Hield is a meme this morning because of that. Now I'm gonna play for you in just a second. Steve Kerr going off and Curry in the post game, and yes, Curry was fouled and all these kind of things. But this is just, the more you listen to the show and watch the show, depending on obviously if you're on the YouTube channel, John Lund Unleashed, or you're listening on the podcast, many days things will pop into my head and I'll say, that's one of my sports philosophies. So you may get sick of it. You may think, okay, we'll just, you'll get to know him after a while. But one of my sports philosophies is I just don't, I don't blame the refs. You know, a guy could take a machete and go, ha, and take the guy's head off at quarterback or something, and the official doesn't call it, and it could cost him the game and blood spurting everywhere. And I say, you know what? There are many opportunities in a game to win the game, and that's just generally the fact. Can it come down to one call, one play? Yeah, yeah, it can. There's no question. And we as a society, whether we're sports or media, we hype that, we play it over, we talk about it, the debate shows love it, all of it. I haven't watched ESPN or Get Up or any of those shows this morning, but I think it's pretty simple. They're going to start with this game. Yeah, a call should not have been made. When the ball is loose like that in a scrum, it's kind of like a Hail Mary in the NFL. Like, yeah, everybody's fighting and grabbing and pulling, and technically speaking, there was probably PI on that Hail Mary call. I'm just talking about a hypothetical Hail Mary call, not one that I just played for you. But on a Hail Mary call, everybody's grabbing and scratching and fighting and tackling, and you know, it probably should be a PI. There probably should be a flag, but they don't do that. They don't call that. It's an unwritten rule, one of the many. Same thing in this situation. When you're going for a scrum, especially at that point of the game and you're an official, you're not going to decide the game on that kind of call. It's ridiculous. It makes you think these guys have a bet on the game or something, to be completely honest with you. And Steve Kerr, I'm going to play for you ranting and raving, is not wrong. There shouldn't have been a foul call there. There's no question about it. However, by the end of this, when I play Steve Kerr and I play Steph Curry and I play all these things, and then I'm going to give you some actual, I know, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, but I'm going to give you something that shows you why the Warriors actually lost the game. And a lot of times, even though it's emphasized by all of us, and you're not wrong, it can come down to one play, but generally speaking, in a game, no matter the game, it doesn't come down to one play. You should have done this, you should have done that, you could have done this. What about 5 minutes ago? What about, you know, there's all these plays in a game in all these sequences that can change things. Bad call. Steve Kerr should be pissed. I understand, and I tell you this all the time, there's a reason why coaches, agents, everybody says what they say now. Because with social media and everything else, they know that everything is going to get out. So Steve Kerr, when he goes off, in fact, let me just play Steve Kerr going off here. So you just saw the final sequence. You just saw that rotten court. I mean, come on. Really? Yep, that's exactly what we want. No, you don't. You just ruined my TV. All right, here's Steve Kerr going off after the game. And this is strong. He's going to find a lot of money for this.
I've never seen a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen that. I think I saw it in college one time 30 years ago. Never seen it in the NBA. That is, I mean... unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened. You know, loose ball, diving on the floor, 80 feet from the basket, and you're going to give a guy two free throws to decide the game when people are scrambling for the ball. Just give them a timeout. It's a physical game. We're going to call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line? This is a billion-dollar industry. You got people's jobs on the line. I am stunned. I give the Rockets credit. They battled back. They played great defense all night. But I feel for our guys. Our guys battled back, played their asses off, and deserved to win that game or at least have a chance for one stop at the end to finish the game. And that was taken from us by a call that I don't think an elementary school referee would have made.
All right, big fine coming for Steve Kerr, but again, I'm a big believer in there's a message in there to his team, there's a message in there to the league. Steve Kerr's just not going to go off, and people are calling me out already, and I love it. I'm not kidding. HR says, Lund taking the side of the ref is Aiken deciding with the man, and you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's just that there are certain philosophies I have in sports, and it's going to take a hell of a lot to change them, and I'm going to go through some of the plays in a minute, why the Warriors, despite that play, should have won. Steve Kerr's not wrong. I spot zero lies in what Steve Kerr said right there. And I would have said the exact same thing. Because what are you going to do after the game? Bitch and moan and say, at this point, this guy did this. At this point, this guy did this. I mean, honestly, Steph took a shot too early, but you never complain about Steph because he's going to make a lot of those shots. So you just let Steph be Steph. We learned that a long time ago. I don't know what has happened to Brandon Podziemski. That shot he took, the corner three, like falling, like what are you doing? He has regressed greatly in his second year. And if you go back a few episodes of the podcast and even the offseason before any of this stuff started, to make him untouchable is completely laughable. But anyway, let's try to stay on topic here. So Kerr goes off, big fine coming. I spot no lies, but still I have a sports philosophy. The refs don't cost you a game ever. People are ripping on me for it, and I love it. It's fine. I get it. Everybody's kind of got a different opinion on that. Here is Steph Curry post-game. I think it's Anthony Slater, who does a great job covering the Warriors from The Athletic, asking him the questions this is, and you saw it in the – do I need to go back to the final sequence? This is where Steph takes the shot so early. Look at the clock down there, 17, 16, down 1, 14, 13. You sure, Steph? And now if that goes in, he's a hero. So he was asked post-game about taking the shot so early. Here's Curry.
Do you feel like he went too early on that last possession?
About what?
Do you feel like he went too early on that last possession, or did you like the shot you
gave? Both.
Yeah.
And they were talking the whole 94 feet, and when you find a little bit of space, I shoot that shot all the time. And obviously the way it went down, loose bar, the 50-50 ball into a unreal loose ball foul that changed the game. So definitely probably a couple seconds too early. I like the shot if we make it. If I make it, we're on a plane to Vegas. So I live with it, but tough way to end.
How, I mean, it seems to us the locker room's pretty upset about that loose ball foul.
Hell yeah. I haven't seen the replay, but in that type of situation, there's a feel of, like, who got to the ball first. I mean, if you're telling me it was a clear foul, then I'll shut up, but I don't think that's the case. Is it? Was it?
There's
indecision in the group, so that means then let the game play out and let us decide it. Not two free throws 90 feet from the basket.
All right, a couple of things on Steph Curry there. First of all, Steph Curry never, ever, ever has to apologize. Whether he takes a shot too early, too late, whatever. Who amongst us didn't think when Curry let that, although it did look a little flat, when Curry let that ball go that thing wasn't going on? He's done it millions of times. And statistically, if you go back, he probably has done it less than half the time. But you just expect in that situation for Steph to step back, rainbow one, bottom of the net. He does night-night. And we all go home happy, or at least Warriors fans do. Rockets fans don't. That's just, you would think that. He had plenty of time on the clock, didn't have to take that shot, but no one's criticizing Steph. Let's start there. And I spot no lies again, 90 feet from the basket. You shouldn't make that call. No question. I'm not debating that whatsoever. But, and oh, by the way, because a lot of people were saying this, and this is one of the reasons I was trying to find this picture or video regarding Steph Curry. Yeah, he was fouled. I mean, there's the shot. And he is, and this I'll go to my grave with as well. I don't know why this is. For a superstar, he gets fewer calls than anybody. And I don't know if it's just, you know, he's a jump shooter, doesn't drive as much, doesn't get the contact as much. But, I mean, there's officials standing right there. And in today's day and age where everything's replayed and it's, you know, down to the intricate inches, millimeters, whatever, and everybody wants the call to be 100% right. And this is just, again, another sports philosophy of mine. I like less technology in the game, and I like more reality in the game, which is officials and things, and sometimes they miss calls. Now, maybe you're like, what are you talking about? The origin of the NFL rule, as far as the replay is concerned, if you go back and you remember, so I'll take this off the board if you're watching on the podcast, yes, Curry was fouled. I'll give you that, because we had a lot of people saying to me last night, this morning, and so forth, but Curry was fouled. He was. Also, Podziemski, who inbounded the ball, inbounded it in 5.7 seconds. There's a five-second rule. We can go through this all day long. That's why I don't blame officials for everything, because there are missed calls throughout the game, missed opportunities throughout the game, and although that was an egregiously bad call, and I don't disagree with Curry or Kerr or anything, or anyone who will say that, absolutely, and it sticks out like a sore thumb, and officials should be better at this level. There's no question. Kerr went at the end of that set. An elementary school official wouldn't have made that call. What, you know, The NBA officials should be better. There's no question. But no one is perfect. It's never going to be perfect. No replay system is going to be perfect. And when they get it down to those intricate and they stop the tape and it's like, did he touch the ball? Did he not? Or whatever. It's like, man, just make a call in 60 seconds so I can enjoy the game. I'd rather it, because what replay, let me go back for a second to where I was. Replay was meant to fix the egregious errors. And in the NFL, it was implemented because Vinny Testaverde was playing for the Jets. He was they were taking on the Seahawks. Dennis Erickson, the former Niners coach, was coaching the Seahawks at the time. Testaverde didn't get into the end zone. The officials said he did. There was no replay at the time. Seattle got knocked out of the playoffs. We are reactionary in sports and in life, and so when something happens, we have to react. We're not proactive. They should have been doing this a long time ago and had the technology to do it. And that's when in the NFL it came aboard. They still haven't perfected it. It still takes too long. I can see 7 replays on my TV with a beer in my hand on the couch, and they still haven't gotten it back. It's like, let's go. Boom, 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 boom. Why do I have to go to New York, and why do I have to go to a big camera? Hell, have the ref just pull his phone out, and he can see it that fast. So it still hasn't been perfected. In that game between Seattle and New York and the Jets, I think the Jets and the Seahawks, and it was in New York, I think it was 98. Might have been a little bit before that, but you get what I'm saying. So that's the origins of it, so it doesn't have to be perfect. Now, let's get back to this game. And so I've given you the Curry. I have acknowledged that Curry was fouled. I acknowledge that that was an egregious, crazy call, similar to if there was a penalty called on a Hail Mary. It's just, you just don't do it. And for that official to do it at that time, honestly, I'll be honest, with all the Tim Donaghy and all the different things and gambling, it makes me believe that some officials, some refs are on the take, and that's the worst thing you can say about an official, but it's like that call, not 99.9% of the time, never gets called. Now, we can't say never now because it just got called. So you're like, you're my math teacher, and you're going, that's not possible. You get my drift. You understand. All right, now, here's reality, and here's why I have the philosophy I do, that officials are pretty much never to blame, even though it's as egregious as it was last night. Warriors down the stretch. They didn't score in the final 3:03. Their last field goal was a JK3 at 4:02. They had an 89-82 lead at that point. Didn't hit a field goal in the last 4:02 and didn't score a point in the last 3:03. They had a 6-point lead with 1:16 left. They were 4-for-9 from the free throw line. And I know what you're going to say, well, the Warriors never go to the line. Houston wasn't much better. This was an old school, and this is why the call was even that much worse. Because this was an old school punch him in the mouth. I'm not going to say back to the 80s or 90s kind of a thing, but they weren't calling a lot of fouls in this game. And the Warriors only went to the line 9 times, but they went 4 of 9. Jonathan Kuminga, who scored 20, went 2 of 6 from the line. Give me my money! 2 of 6 from the line. That's self-inflicted. Curry and Hield were 14 and 29. The rest of the team was 23 of 55 at 41.8%. So I'll just keep that up there for a second. And that's what I'm saying is that, so you didn't score in the final 3:03, you didn't hit a field goal the last 4:02, and you had a 6-point lead with 1:16 left with a veteran club on the floor, and you couldn't hold it. The official was egregious. It was a horrible call. Steve Kerr's right. That's going to be a lot of money out of his pocket. Curry's right in saying you don't do that 90, 80, 90 feet away from the basket and decide a game like that and give Jalen Green 2 free throws to win it. I agree with all of that. But philosophically, you had opportunities, you didn't score, you missed free throws. There were things in the game that happened that weren't as obvious as what happened there, and you lost the game. So I agree with HR who says, man, you're siding with the man. And I hate to side with the man. I do. The official is the man. You're right. And I don't want to side with the man. That's not who I am. But philosophically, there's so much discussion about how officials rob teams and do all these things. And they can. At certain times, there's no question. And the reason why is because with seconds left in the game, there's no way that that other team can recover. And you just don't make that call. I'm not saying I don't agree with all of that. But earlier in the game, you had tons of opportunities. But again, Steve Kerr has, within the media, has to say, okay, I'm going to just bash the league on this one. I'm going to take the fine. I got to protect my guys. Because after the game, he's not going to say, well, if J.K. had been not been two for six on the line, if we had hit a field goal in the last 4:02, you know, your team is pissed. Your guys are upset. And as a coach, sometimes you got to ride that wave and defend them so that they go, okay, Steve's got our back. So he's going to take that hit. He's going to take that fine. He's going to say all those things and get pissed off. but his players are going to respect him for it because, I don't know, $100,000 fine, whatever it is, he absolutely crushed the official. So he'll get fined for it, but his players are going to respect him, and that's more important to Steve Kerr. He's got to defend his guys, even though he probably walked into his office, shut the door of his assistant coaches, and said, could Jonathan Kuminga make a goddamn free throw? I mean, that's probably what he did, but he's not going to say that publicly. He can't. He's got to defend his guys. It's part of the job. You take the bullet. All right. Could be wrong. let's see. 24-second violation. Yeah, absolutely. Lots of turnovers at key times. I mean, you guys watch the game. You know. Look, I love being angry and all that stuff, and it's one play, and it becomes obvious, and I get it, man. But if we settle down and sit down for a second, we go, man, our team had a lot of chances. Just saying. Good call, HR. 24-second violation. So anyway, just saying. That was the big story. Let's see. What else do we got? Who's talking beer already today? What are we talking about? Rosie, what are we talking about? Catch me up on this kind of stuff. Let's see. Not closing out these games. Is that on the coach or the lineup? Again, another sports philosophy of mine that you'll learn. Players play, coaches coach. Steve Kerr didn't take a shot last night. He can put guys in the right position. There's analytics, I'm sure, that tells Steve Kerr, it's, you know, the NBA and basketball in general is not as analytically driven as what baseball is, but you can guarantee that Steve Kerr has, you know, what lineups work, who's plus minus, which to me in the NBA is a very inexact science. The plus minus, which came from hockey, obviously, it's been very popularized in the NBA, and a lot of it's dependent on who you play with and all those kind of things, but he has lineups, certain things, all these analytics. I don't know that Steve Kerr is just absolutely a robot, speaking of robots, to the analytics, but he knows what lineups play best together. We often hear about those kind of things. And look, down the stretch, you're going to, it's not rocket science. You're going to play a lot of your veteran guys. Certain nights, you're going to play just based on the matchups, foul problems, who's tired, who's hurt, all those kind of things. There's not just a set, these guys are my closing lineup in the final five, especially given, now there was when the Warriors were light years ahead, like Joe Lacob said, but right now, because of what they have, that's just not the case. It can fluctuate from night to night outside of the obvious guys. So give me your thoughts on that. Again, I'm going by my philosophies, kind of like Farhan. This is what you will do. And it can change from night to night. And it was a horrible call, but I'm not going to blame the official, which is the man, purely. There was that sneeze from like 20 minutes ago that I thought I had, and there it is right there. All right, it is John Lund Unleashed. Thanks for joining us. That is the big story of the day. Steve Kerr, the Warriors are pissed. They're not going to Vegas. They're not going to win the cup. All those kind of things. You know my thoughts on the cup. Love that you're interacting with the show. If you are new to the show, thank you so much. Please make sure you subscribe and tell your friends at John Lund Unleashed. We got a podcast as well as the YouTube channel. We post, and we're here every morning at 8 a.m. or somewhere in between, somewhere around that. And we're going to be better and better with that. We do 3 minutes on during the day, stuff when news breaks. Do you want to do a, I wanted to ask you this, I forgot, and then we'll move on to the next thing on the chalkboard. Do you want to do a chat tonight after the Niners game? I'm not against it. If you're going to watch the Niners game on Thursday Night Football, and by the way, get to Levi's Stadium early. I have attended and covered just about every game at Levi's Stadium since it opened in 2014, and the traffic's never been worse, and a Thursday night is absolutely brutal. So just tell your boss, like, yeah, I'm going to go, you know, I got to service the Johnson account, you know, whatever. Just get out. If you're going to the game, just, it's ridiculous, and you know that already, but Thursday night is absolutely positively crazy. But if you get back to me either at John Lund Radio on Twitter and all the social media places, or you tell me either right now in the live chat or in the comments a little bit later that you'd want to hang out for a post-game Niners chat. Maybe we'll get a beer, a cocktail, something like that, and just hang out together and discuss the game tonight against the Rams. And I will do a bit of a preview on today's show, although, again, I've got a full preview already up on the YouTube channel and the podcast, so you can either listen to that coming in or you can just go back to that. But you got to listen, you got to watch the show first here, and then you can go back later. And I've got a full preview of that game. All right, let's get going. We already went over the stuff with Steve Kerr. Anything else on the text line that I got to get to on the chat line? Maybe the words are just ass. Yeah, I haven't figured them out yet. They got off to the great start. I think it's pretty simple. In fact, it leads into the conversation that we're going to have right now. They need to make a move. I don't know if it's for the guy that I'm going to play this video on and how angry you're going to get on this. I'm not going to say the Warriors are ass. Ass is, let's see if I can get this in the middle of the screen. Ass is here, right? And then really good at the beginning of the season is here. I think the Warriors are, that's ass there, like right where my nose is kind of. I think it's like right there. If they get themselves a star, we've talked about this many times. I like Jonathan Kuminga. He scored 20, but everybody, you know, was it last week he scored 33 and I gave you the whole speech. Another sports philosophy of mine is consistency. You wouldn't have gotten to the pros if you weren't any good. So once a week, twice a week, whatever, no times a week, whatever, you can perform. You have to perform. If there's four nights in the NBA, you got to perform on four of them or three of them or three and a half of them. That's Steph Curry level. That's lots of, Draymond Green. Yeah, lately Draymond Green. He can have those seasons where he's kind of off and on. But superstar-level players play at that level. Jonathan Kuminga went 2 of 6 on the free throw line. Sorry, it offsets your 20 points. So, to me, I would trade Kuminga. I would, you know, the Anthony Melton's contract, a lot of people have talked about to make the numbers work. Anyway, let's get into that conversation now. This was yesterday, but it kind of happened late in the show. So, I was aware of this yesterday, but I couldn't fit it into the show because we were already off and jamming. So, here's Brian Windhorst talking about LeBron and Jimmy Butler as potential targets for the Warriors.
Have been really active in trying to look for a star player. They kicked the tires on a couple other stars over the summer. And if Jimmy Butler is available and the Warriors feel like they need to upgrade, that could be. But who else is on their list, Roz? That's LeBron James. And I know that this is one of the most fascinating opportunities in the league. It's a delicious scenario to think about. The Warriors have dreamed of pairing LeBron with Steph Curry and Draymond Green since last year. They've made an inquiry and it got shut down last February. That was before LeBron played with Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and won the gold medal over the summer. So they will definitely monitor the situation, and I don't think they do anything without knowing this door is locked. But I would just say with LeBron, it's up to him. He has a no-trade clause, and he has given no indication he wants
to handle on that whole thing. All right, as far as Jimmy Butler, he's 35 years old, doesn't want to be with the Heat. He's kind of a quirky guy, but come playoff time, Jimmy Butler locks in. He's got kind of a Draymond Green personality. I'm sure that you know that. He does hold teammates to a high standard or tries to. I don't know how he and Draymond would coexist. He's not under contract next year, so how much are you going to give up? But if the stated goal, and I constantly say this, if the stated goal is Steph Curry wins a championship or bust and we're going to be really bad regardless, and I've made that claim, it's just the truth, we got to keep Kuminga to build around. First of all, I don't know that Kuminga's a building block. He's not consistent enough to know. And anybody who says he is or he isn't, they don't know because he's not consistent enough. At this point, from what I've seen, he's not. But he's very young and could turn into that. And I continue to discuss this. GMs don't want to have egg on their face. But if you're trying to win a championship and you're Joe Lacob and when the Warriors are really, really bad, which will happen when Curry leaves with or without Jonathan Kuminga, with or without Podziemski, with or without, I don't care, Wiggins, whoever it is that you would add in a trade, you're going to be terrible regardless. And I don't think there's a guy who's the next on this roster. I just don't see it. So now the question becomes, do you want LeBron James? There's two sides to it with LeBron James for me. LeBron James, the basketball player, tell me what I have to give up. But if you're going for a championship in the next 2 years, which this is Steph's age 37 season, although he's showing very little to no signs of slowing down, then putting LeBron James with Draymond Green, with Steph Curry, that's not the worst idea in the world. Has he slipped a bit? Yeah. I'm not into the debate of Jordan or LeBron or whatever. I covered Jordan for a number of years, and I think he's the best, but I'm not a list guy. That's another thing of mine. I'm not a list guy. I don't care what, you know, fill in the blank said. Like, everybody's trying to get you with that hook all the time. Did you see the list that so-and-so put together? No, and I don't care. It doesn't mean anything. Do you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? No, I don't care. Like, I do not care. I'm like, you know, what it reminds me of is, like, friendships or people that you get to know. I have a philosophy in life of however someone treats me, I treat them back. Oh, that guy's an asshole. Did you know this? Look, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I just know how they treated me. So that's kind of how I philosophically go through things. As far as LeBron is concerned, the on the court LeBron, depending on what I have to give up to put Draymond Green and Curry together and say that it's for a 2 year period at most. And I guess you got to bring Bronny along as well because that's part of the whole thing, whatever. My thoughts are known on Bronny, but to just stay focused on just the big three, and I don't know what they'd put around it, but yeah, would they have a better chance of winning right now? Kuminga, I would imagine, would have to be part of any kind of a deal. He makes a gazillion dollars, so Wiggins is going to have to be part of a deal. You're probably going to have to put DeAnthony Melton's $12.8 million in there. All these things are going to happen because it would come down to the reasoning for the Lakers is the Lakers and the Warriors are very similar in that they're trying to milk the last bits out of their superstar. So the Lakers are like trying to put these people around LeBron James and be like, okay, can we do anything? And it's not looking good. And then the Warriors are trying to put all these pieces around Steph Curry and they're kind of going, because they're starting to sputter. And they don't, at the beginning of the year, it was like, whoa, they might have found something here. You know, strength in numbers again. Look at all this depth. And all of a sudden the depth kind of erodes a little bit. And then those players actually play like they normally do. And all of a sudden you start thinking to yourself, okay, and now all the rumors come out that the Warriors need something. We already knew that. This isn't new. Like the fact that they got off to a great start was intriguing for a second, but reality has hit now. And reality is if you're going to win and you're going to win at a high level, this ain't it. You got to go make a trade for somebody. Now, is LeBron it? So I gave you the court side, on the court stuff for LeBron James. The off the court stuff for LeBron James, can't stand the guy. Can't stand the guy. I don't know why. I don't know if it's Taco Tuesday. I don't know if it's the arrogance. I don't know if it's putting a king on his. You just don't do that. Like, I'll call you the king. You don't call you the king. Maybe you're the king. But constantly putting it on and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know LeBron's life. Would I act like that if I was LeBron with all that money and all the different things? And maybe. But he rubs you the wrong way, doesn't he? I don't know if I can even put my finger on it. It's a combination of everything that I just talked about. You know, the I'm the king and the, you know, I can't handle it, man. Maybe it's been ESPNized in my head that LeBron, it's just every time I turn it on, everybody's talking about the guy. It could be Windhorst right there. It could be, you know, somebody screaming about him. He's in the rotation. I talk about the music all the time. You know, it's a heavy rotation if you listen to music stations. It's a heavy rotation, or a short, I should say, rotation at ESPN and all these other channels. It's Cowboys and Dak and LeBron. And, you know, there's like five topics that they just find a different way to ask the same or bring up the same topic over and over and over again. So maybe it's just my own fault for consuming those kind of things. But the guy, it would be hard for me to root for the Warriors if LeBron James is on the team. Maybe I could change my tune. Because I am a big believer in once you can hate a guy's guts. Once he's on your team, you love the guy. Happened with Chris Paul last year. Hate him, hate him, hate him. Go, Chris! Hate him, hate him. Go, Chris! You know, it's just, it happens. But I'm not a LeBron guy. I'm not a hater by and large. He's just one of those people that rubs you the wrong way. I'm not jealous. I give him a ton of credit for basically not misstepping most, if not all, of his career. I mean, this guy was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a junior in high school, ESPN. Was running his high school games. One of the few people in history, I will give him this credit, who has actually lived up to the hype of what they were supposed to be on and off the court. All those things. I want to give him all the flowers, all the adulation, all those kind of things because LeBron has lived up to it in a way that very few, if any, have ever. You know, you get all these superstars, but a lot of guys, like North, it's well known, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school team as a junior. He wasn't on ESPN. He wasn't on the cover of Sports Illustrated. LeBron was. Even before that, it was like LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James. So he's lived up to everything. Won championships. And again, you may not like the way he went. I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. That really didn't piss me off. I didn't, whatever. Do you. And it wasn't the smartest thing. It wasn't the greatest thing. He wouldn't do it again. But just, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. Exactly, even though I just gave you some examples. So I wouldn't, from a standpoint of LeBron James, I wouldn't be against it. It's just, it would be harder for me to root for the Warriors. As far as Jimmy Butler is concerned, I'm not a Jimmy Butler guy. I do respect what he's done with the Heat. It works. It has worked. Heat culture, all that kind of stuff. 35 years old, you're going to have to give up Jonathan Kuminga. Butler's breaking down. Those are one of those kind of moves where if you don't win the championship, you're saying to yourself, boy, that was dumb. Now, LeBron, same thing. I know they're similar in terms, and LeBron's even a little bit older, and I understand that, but I still think that LeBron is going to bring it. He's, you know, he's going to be a positive influence. I'm talking on the court, all those kind of things. Jimmy Butler, I wouldn't make that move. I think there are better moves to be made. I brought this up a little bit earlier in a few episodes ago, and people are just like, what is wrong with you? We're getting reports that all week that the Warriors aren't interested in Brandon Ingram. I'd be interested in Brandon Ingram, 27, 28 years old. I think he's underrated. People do a comp of Kevin Durant. He is certainly not that, and I think they do it because of skinny body type. He's really good. I mentioned Zion Williamson, and everybody freaked out, and I will admit he cannot stay healthy, but if, and I'm contradicting myself because I often tell you that if there's a lot of ifs around your team, then your team's not very good. So then I'm saying Zion Williamson would be pretty cool if he wasn't so fat and if he could stay in shape and if he could stay healthy. He has superstar potential. He has a uniqueness about him at, what is he, 6'6", 290? Get that to about 260, and now we're cooking with gas. So I think he has a ton of upside. But again, potential is one of the worst, and it's misused is what it is, especially in sports. Boy, that guy's a lot of potential. Let's translate that. He hasn't done it yet and may never. Jonathan Kuminga has a lot of potential. He's frustrating. He's not consistent. He pisses you off. He scores 20 and goes 2-for-6 on the line. He scores 33 and disappears for 3 games. Potential, everybody looks at potential as this positive word. It's not a positive word or positive term. It means you haven't fulfilled it yet. It means it's immense, but you haven't fulfilled it yet. And that's where I think Kuminga is. So potential. Yeah, Zion Williamson has tons of potential. And if New Orleans ever got sick of him, I would put Kuminga in that deal. And I would put Wiggins in that deal. And I would put picks in that deal. Because now you're swinging for the fences. It could go horribly wrong, like my groin and my hamstring, to go back to my softball story to start the show. It could go horribly wrong, but I will bet on potential. If you like, what bothers me is that you're going to give up the players that I just mentioned for the Warriors, and you're not going to get the upside that you could potentially get. And, you know, a lot of GMs have been fired because of upside. Upside is another word for potential. So maybe I'm contradicting myself in there, but if we're going to talk trade in the NBA, I'd rather go with a guy that's 27 or 28 and can grow with my team and be a superstar and be the next after Steph leaves, because I don't see it on this team. But I, surprisingly, even though I'm not a LeBron guy, I would probably take him in a trade. What do I have to give up? Give me your thoughts. At John Lund Unleashed, you're listening to the podcast and watching on YouTube. I appreciate it. Let me get out to the chats before I jump, because we're going to go to the Belichick story. I don't know how much you're into the Belichick story, but I'm just going to play the funny parts of it. And then I did read a really interesting Seth Wickersham piece on it, and he's one of the best writers out there, and he's on ESPN. By the way, people said yes. People, by and large, actually in large numbers, I should say, people said yes to the chat tonight, so let's do it. Right after the 49ers game ends tonight against the Rams, we will have a lot to discuss, and let's chat. So I'll jump on this very channel, and I can't set you a time because I don't know what time it's going to end. Generally starts around, what, 5:20, 5:30, so that's going to put us around, I don't know, 8:30, something in that range. Come back here, and we will do a we'll do a live chat on the 49ers. Give me your thoughts. Anybody got any LeBron James thoughts on this whole thing? Would you say absolutely not? He's always a fiery topic. Like, it's nobody's like, eh, whatever. I'm LeBron. Nobody's like, I can take it or leave it. True Blue is like, are you mocking me? What's the best ability? Availability. I know. I say it all the time. And now you're like, Zion has the potential to bankrupt the buffet. He does. He could be Pablo Sandoval, you know? He could be Pablo Sandoval. You know the stories. Man, I got a great story right now, but I got to stay focused. All right, I got to tell it. If you ever remember a guy, and then we're going to get into the Belichick story. Tell me if you remember a guy, his name was Ike Austin, Isaac Austin. He was a Utah Jazz, member of the Utah Jazz. He bounced around the league, was a pretty nondescript player, went to Arizona State, was like 6'10". Probably when he got into the league, he was about 260. It's a great story. So I don't want to give the story away, but in leagues, it's dependent on the league of whether they can put any kind of a clause, a weight clause in your contract. They couldn't for Pablo Sandoval. But so what Brian Sabian did, he told us later, was he would give him bonuses. So he wouldn't take money away, but you could give bonuses for being a certain weight. And so that's what they did with Pablo Sandoval. So this guy, Ike Austin, he was on the Utah Jazz, and they did that. They gave him bonuses for being a certain weight. And they had a chef, and they were you know, he had a certain workout regimen. They had a chef. They had certain things he was eating. They were on him all the time. He was a young player, might have been in his second or third year at the time. And they were just, they couldn't figure it out. They're like, why can't this guy make weight? What is going on? And so finally they sat down with him and they said, all right, man, we got to know what you eat every second of the day because something's not adding up here. You're gaining weight and we have you on this diet and we have you on this exercise regimen and we think you have all this upside, but you can't be 285 pounds. We want you to be 260. And he couldn't lose weight and he was actually gaining weight. So the culprit ended up being there was a McDonald's right next to the facility. And Ike Austin didn't consider this eating. So he would stop at McDonald's, and I don't remember the exact order, but, you know, in the morning, he'd go like Egg McMuffin and all these different kind of things and hash browns, and then he'd I don't know, later in the day, he'd hit a Big Mac. He was addicted to McDonald's, and he didn't consider that eating. So when he went, he told him what he ate in a given day, and he didn't include it. Finally, they're like, you know, a few weeks go by, and they're just like, Ike, there's got to be something. And he goes, well, he goes, I stop at McDonald's every day, but it's only four, and he gives them the order, and they're like, dude, that's like 5,000 calories. What are you doing? You just conveniently omitted that from the conversation that you stop at this McDonald's every day? So literally, the nutritionist with the Jazz went to the manager at the McDonald's and said, if you see this guy ever, he is not to be served. You cannot serve him. And it's a small community, and they want the Jazz to do well. So they're like, okay. And Ike Austin did not get served at that McDonald's. True story. True story. All right, let's move on. High senior softball games. Lund looking for an intern. Must be YouTube savvy and available every show. Yeah, what's the big deal? And pay is next to nothing, if not nothing itself. Bankrupt, let's see. Tangent alert. I know. I don't mean to go off on these things, man. They just pop in my head. And if I don't tell them, then I'm going to learn, you know, I'm going to forget. I don't want to do that. All right, let's go to Belichick real quick. So we're going to do, I promise right after this, we'll do the 49ers preview. If you're looking for a full 49ers preview, I do have that up on my YouTube channel. I do have that up on the podcast. So I did a full 49ers Rams preview for Thursday Night Football, which I promised you yesterday I would do. All right, the Belichick story is weird, man. And this is one of the things, this is one of the reasons I'm glad to do this forum, because I don't know that we talk Belichick on the show today, especially if I was doing radio, especially because it's a 49ers day, Steve Kerr going bananas, that whole thing yesterday, which if you missed it, we went over it so you can go back and listen to the show later or to the podcast. But generally speaking, the serious part of Belichick first, he's going back to college. He's going to the University of North Carolina. He told Pat McAfee the other day that he wants to impact young men's lives and create this professional atmosphere for life and in NFL. And if they don't go to the NFL, that's fine. And Mike Lombardi, who you know, I'm sure, front offices of the Raiders and the Patriots and a good friend of Belichick, he's going to actually be the general manager for this whole thing. Belichick is 72. And so, of course, well, I'm not going to get to the 24-year-old girlfriend jokes yet because there are many, and I'll play them for you in just a second. But in Seth Wickersham's piece, to be serious for 1 second, on ESPN.com today, essentially said he's been driven out of the NFL. Now, remember, Bill Belichick didn't do all these things, all these appearances on Inside the NFL and the Pat McAfee show and with the Manning cast. I mean, he's friggin' everywhere. I think he does a thing with Bleacher Report. I mean, he's doing like six or seven different media things. And the reason he did it is not because, and he is great, and he is insightful, and he is funny, and he is honest, and he's all these different things. To me, he's easily the rookie of the year as far as media is concerned, and he actually should just continue to do this if he's not going to chase Don Shula's record for the 14 games to become the all-time winningest coach in the NFL. He should just do this because he's really good at it, and it's great to have his insight. It's great to have his honesty. This guy sucks. This guy, you know, he really breaks it down. It's interesting what he's doing. I mean, it is really good. He's better than Brady. He's better than anybody doing media right now that's brand new, and he's better than anybody regardless of age, no caveats on this whole thing, in terms of analyzing football and then just honestly saying he does not care. The older you get, the less you care. Bill Belichick, 72, he does not care about criticism. He doesn't care about criticism from a player, an owner, a coach. He's just telling it like it is. It's awesome. So now he's going to go to North Carolina, and in Wickersham's piece on ESPN today, it says that essentially nobody wanted him in the NFL, and this is the whole reason he did media. He did media so that he could show everybody, look, I'm 72, but I'm vibrant. I'm 72, but I still know what the hell I'm talking about. You need to hire me. And I thought for sure, given what Bill Belichick is doing this year, and I thought it was going to be a one-and-doner. I knew it was going to be a one-and-doner. But what I thought was a team that was on the verge. Like in the NBA, if you remember, like a guy like Larry Brown or Phil Jackson, obviously, where there's certain guys who are builders of young teams, and then there are guys and you take it to a next level. Like, you got to give Mark Jackson credit, even though he's never gotten another head coaching job, and he wasn't great. And he said, yeah, have you ever seen 51 wins around here? And there's obviously something wrong with him because nobody will hire him as a coach. But Mark Jackson did a nice job at the time with the Warriors, with the young players, developing their confidence, giving Clay and Steph the ultimate green light, all those kind of things. Mark Jackson did a good job, and at the time where the Warriors were, was a good coach for the Warriors. And then Steve Kerr comes in, and Steve Kerr's a closer. Well, Bill Belichick's a closer. So Belichick, like when I heard him to Jacksonville, Jacksonville's not close. I knew, and I told you this on KNBR because I worked in Dallas and I know Jerry Jones kind of. His ego was not, those two egos together, never was going to happen. Never. So that wasn't going to happen. And so, you know, Atlanta didn't want to hire him. They go Raheem Morris, which I kind of scratched my head because they were kind of, you know, you look at them right now, especially with Cousins. Where was their problems? It was on defense. And so I thought Belichick would be a good one. But as I look at the openings that there's going to be, and again, Dallas is not going to be one of them, and Dallas, frankly, isn't close. Really, the only one that you could say, hey, possibly you're on the verge of it and they just can't win a Super Bowl is the Niners. And I'm not an advocate to get rid of Kyle Shanahan, and I've said this over and over again. Kyle has not had a good year. Kyle hired Nick Sorensen. That was bad. He hasn't fired Brian Schneider. Offensively, they're kind of predictable. He's banged his head against a wall. I think he's too conservative. I think he needs to look more at analytics and hire somebody, you know, in terms of fourth downs. You don't have to be Dan Campbell, but given his offensive acumen and his and the way that he can call plays and the way that he can be creative, I just 2-point conversions, fourth downs, short yarded stuff, that should be all on Kyle, and the Niners should be the best at it in the league. So, yeah, Kyle hasn't had a great year, but I've never advocated firing Kyle Shanahan in any way, shape, or form. And the Niners aren't going to do it. But if they were, if this situation had become untenable and just was, you know, as it's been around here at times, you know, like a Harbaugh situation where it was like, we can't handle this guy anymore. Belichick would be perfect for the 49ers because he comes in, he's a closer, only need him for a few years, he gets his 14 wins, and talk about a guy who can, you know, the way that he runs a football game in his prime was second to none. So anyway, to go back to him, he's 72 years old, and the reason why he was doing all the media is to prove to NFL owners and decision makers, I haven't lost my fastball, man. Look at this. And that's why he was honest, and that's why he was hard-hitting. Well, in Wickersham's piece this morning, it says no one was interested. His agents were throwing it out. Hey, man, looks like you need a coach who can close. Not interested, not interested, not interested. So there were like 7 or 8 teams that they discussed, not interested. And, of course, he didn't even make it to the final 3 of the Falcons last year. So that's the serious side of Bill Belichick. Now, of course, what would we do as a media to run with this story that we heard? Yes, he has a 24-year-old girlfriend. Yes, he's going back to college. Wouldn't want my daughter going to college at North Carolina right now. All of a sudden, Bill Belichick's at my doorstep. Hello, sir. I'm with your daughter. It's nice to be here for Thanksgiving. It's like, what? You're with 72-year-old Bill Belichick? What is wrong with you, honey? Didn't we teach you anything? Anyway, along those lines, here is ESPN yesterday. It's done now, but this is when it was speculation yesterday, and you knew this was coming.
17-year-olds, or his want to recruit a bunch of 16 and 17-year-olds, but even NIL now operates more like free agency than it ever has. So there's probably more overlap than we even see on the surface.
Belichick has proven he can recruit the youngins. Like,
we got a commercial. I gotta sell something. We got some insurance to sell.
Concerned about Tony and Kimberly for the final word.
And it turns out this show's gonna be the most watched show.
That concern was justified. Our research department, by the way.
So you knew that the recruiting stuff was gonna happen. The recruiting jokes were gonna happen, and all that kind of stuff. And before I play a meme that's become really popular about Belichick, this is what I mean, by the way. Let's go back to yesterday's show, and you got to tune in every day because the show builds upon itself. So yesterday, or the day before, they all start running together. So did you see how nervous and uncomfortable everybody was here? Do you want me to play this again? Focus on the fact that not only it's the joke that's going around, of course, everywhere, all over the internet about Belichick going back to school, But just the nervousness that everybody has on the ESPN set, and I told you yesterday or the day before, Disney, hi, everybody. You know, Mickey Mouse, they own ESPN. I worked for ESPN for 10 years. They didn't like some of my antics. I no longer work for ESPN. I was a little too on edge for them. They did not like that. It's a conservative company by nature. So when she makes the joke, watch how nervous everybody gets. And then this is going to mean something.
17-year-olds or his want to recruit a bunch of 16 and 17-year-olds. But even NIL now operates more like free agency than it ever has. So there's probably more overlap than we even see on the surface.
Belichick has proven he can recruit the youngins. Like,
We got a commercial. I got to sell something. We got some insurance to sell.
I was concerned about turning to Kimberly for the final word. And it turns out
this show is going to be the most watched show on
Gap. That concern was justified. Our research department, by the way.
So Dan Graziano, who's filling in for Mike Greenberg, is sitting in the middle going, he's just trying to keep it straight. He's trying to be the straight guy, right? Bah, 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 and he's nervous. Jeff Saturday's like, don't we have a commercial to go to? The other guy's like, hey, can we? Is there some insurance we can sell? Like, it's just it because they know, because they get the memos that I used to get at ESPN going, you can't talk about this, and you can't talk about that, and you can't talk about, like, I guarantee you there was a memo saying, no making fun of Bill Belichick having a 24-year-old girlfriend. No, we cannot go there. I guarantee there was a memo of that. And then she didn't care because she's trying to make her way. You know, she's like, I don't know who that is, but she's just like, I'm going right through that stop sign. Yeah, I'm going through it. And everybody else in the set is nervous because they got the memo earlier that day. No Belichick. You're going to bring up Belichick, but in parentheses, in that show rundown that they have on TV that we don't see, in parentheses, it probably said, no Belichick girlfriend jokes. And she busted through it. The rest of them went, oh, no. Well, this is what I hope doesn't happen, and then we'll get back to Belichick. This is what I hope doesn't happen when TNT, when Inside the NBA goes to ESPN, because we talked about this, and it's hilarious, and it's funny. I don't want these guys on edge. And it might be funnier that they are, because Barkley won't care, but this was a couple of days
ago. You think Jay-Z
probably not a good time right now.
You think Jay-Z
probably not a good time right now.
Or you're silly, man. You're silly, man.
Go see if you can fix the wall, will you, Shaq?
Fix the wall, man.
Natural. They're having fun. Those guys don't want memos. No speaking about Bill Belichick's girlfriend. No talking about Jay-Z. I guarantee that there's a memo about no Jay-Z at ESPN. Cannot talk about Jay-Z. And by the way, I don't want to go on a tangent on Jay-Z, but how about Roger Goodell yesterday saying, oh, no, we're still in business with Roc Nation. Really? Because if an NFL player was accused of what Jay-Z is accused of, do you know how quick he'd be on the commissioner's exempt list and not playing? But Jay-Z makes him a lot of money, and Roc Nation a lot of, like, there's millions, if not billions of dollars in that relationship. Oh, no, we're cool with Jay-Z. Oh, really? But that quarterback? Oh, no. He's, you know, any kind of speculation, you're on the commissioner's list. Not Jay-Z. There's too much money there. Anyway, there's the difference, and I hope it doesn't change. All right, one more on Bill Belichick, and then let's get to the Niners game, shall we? I mean, hell, it's 9:15, 9:18, Lund. What's taking you so long? We already did go over the Kerr stuff, so if you missed that, go back and watch the show later or listen to the podcast. One more thing, and you don't have to send me this one anymore because I've gotten it a ton. Yeah, I know, that's Bill Belichick looking at the dorms. When actually it's him at the combine, but it's the meme that's going around is, yeah, there's Bill Belichick on his first day at the job at North Carolina scouting out the dorms for a younger version. He's already got a girlfriend that's 24. Yeah, I've gotten that meme like 1,000 times, but it's okay. It's funny. I'm just telling you, if you're going to send it to me, which many have, and I had even seen it before you sent it to me, I know I have it. I got it. Scouting out the dorms. I got it. All right, before we get to the Niners, and I got a lot of good information on the Niners, let me hit up the text line real quick. What do we got here? Again, welcome into the show today. Rockin' 49er Red Zone. Haven't seen you. How you doing, bro? Everybody in today. Awesome. Love it. HR, thank you so much. Talking about Schroeder, Dennis Schroeder. I'm not a Schroeder guy. I'm not saying he wouldn't help. What do I got to give up? Is that just DeAnthony Melton's expiring contract in like a first round or some kind of a second round pick? Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, it's something like that. I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just saying, does that change anything as far as the outlook of the season this year? I'm looking for a – when it comes to the Warriors, I'm looking for somebody who's going to make a difference. I'm looking for that guy that we've talked about for a couple of years now, and I don't know that Markkanen was that guy in the offseason with Utah or anything like that. The only thing that pisses me off about the Markkanen thing was that they continued to call Pods untouchable. Pods is untouchable. No, Pods is a role player. And you trade role players. You don't want to trade superstars. You don't want to trade a guy with the potential of Kuminga, but I'd even do that. Pods is untouchable. Then you might as well not even have trade talks with anybody. Like if somebody, if I was on the other line of the Warriors and they said Brandon Podziemski is untouchable, I'd be like, then what are we doing here? Like, why are we on the phone if Brandon Podziemski is untouchable? Stop it. Now let's have a real conversation. It's silly. All right. Let's move on to the 49ers. 49ers, first of all, this is what I wanted to talk about before, and I hope you're still here. I can't remember who asked if Guerrero was playing tonight on their, because everybody's talking about fantasy and fantasy playoffs and all this kind of stuff. That's a good call right there, by the way, 49ers red zone. Belichick to the Bills. If they don't get it done against the Chiefs this year, that's not a bad call. That's not a bad call at all. People asked me earlier if Ike was playing fantasy purposes. This is Adam Schefter, so you can't get more credible than that when it comes to NFL news. Just make sure it's not the fake Adam Schefter. With fantasy football playoffs, blah, blah. 49ers rookie Isaac Guerrero plans to play Thursday night versus the Rams despite his sprained foot that has left him listed as questionable per sources. Guerrero insists, quote unquote, he feels good. Now, the only thing, let's break down what Adam Schefter right there said. Says he plans to play, he feels good. That's very different, I tell you, from Kyle Shanahan coming out and saying it or John Lynch coming out and saying it. It's Isaac Guerrero saying he plans to play. Plans change. So if you've got a fantasy league, and that's good news because I'm going to give you some Rams. They're terrible against the run, especially in the last three games. So I'll give you that in just a second. But when I read that this morning, the first time I read it through, I went, woohoo, he's playing. Good news. And then I started to look at it with a fine-tooth comb, as I am wont to do. And I see that he says he plans to play and he feels good. Well, what I think that means, and he is questionable, I told you this earlier, as far as the 49ers over the last few years, questionable means playing about 80% of the time. So that's good news. So he is listed as questionable, and he is huge. He's probably the number one guy. If I did five guys, not the food, not the fries, which are outstanding, we don't need to get into a conversation of how they're probably the best fries in all of fast food. Hit me up, at John Lund Radio. Tons of salt on them. Yeah, they put them in that cup. They're addicting. They're like crack. But anyway, stay focused. When Isaac Guerrero says he's going to play and he feels good, that's not the same as the team saying it. So I'm not saying that he shouldn't start in your fantasy league. It's just that you've got to read between the lines. When a player says, I'm playing, remember how long Christian McCaffrey goes, yeah, I'm playing. You ain't playing. Because you don't make the decision. Even if you're as powerful within this organization as Christian McCaffrey, the doctors tell you whether you're playing or not. And Kyle Shanahan did not say Guerrero was playing. John Lynch did not say Guerrero was playing. Guerrero said Guerrero was playing. So, grain of salt there. All right, the reason why that matters. That's right, Smiley Dan. Five guys. Even this early in the morning. What do we got? What time is it? Come on. 9:23. I'd do five guys. I'm not one of those people that it's like, it's morning, I got to have breakfast, it's night. Do you ever do breakfast for dinner? Outstanding. Can't do it a lot, but outstanding when you do. Like, if you got nothing, and you and your significant other and the kids are sitting around going, what do we do? If you say to your kids, because I've done this, breakfast for dinner. It's massive hit. Not all the time, massive hit, like pancakes, bacon, try it. It freaks you out a little bit, but man, it works. All right, the reason why I bring up Guerrero is, look at this. And I even have a fancy graphic with Isaac Guerrero on it. So the Rams defense in their last three games. Now it's skewed a bit by the Eagles, I'll give you that. But the Eagles go 45 for 314 and three touchdowns against the Rams. Then the Saints go 31 for 143. And then the Bills is a little bit skewed because if you remember, or if you watched that game last week, it was 45-42, the Rams win it, but the Bills were down going into the fourth quarter like 21 points, three touchdowns. And so they could have run for more, 17 for 103 and 3. Most of that was Josh Allen. But regardless of how they got there, the numbers are this. Last three games, 93 carries, 560 yards, a 6 yards per carry average, and 6 touchdowns for teams. And on the season, they give up 141 yards per game, which is 28th, and 4.7 a carry, the Rams defense does, which is 24th. I mean, that's 5 yards a carry. That's awful. So why is Isaac Garendo playing tonight important beyond your fantasy team, you dork? No, you're not a dork, honestly. That's not... Strike that from the record. You're not a dork at all. I play fantasy football. It's a billion-dollar business. And when people say you're a dork for playing it, they're stupid. So I take it back. Anyway, 6 yards a carry over the last three, 560 yards, 28th in yards per game, which that's not the be-all, end-all. The yards per carry really is. They're almost at 5 yards a carry. So, look, they've got some nice interior defensive linemen. I really like Jared Verse coming off the edge. Actually, I don't like him, but he's really, really good. I can't like him because he's on the Rams. But there you go. I mean, they cannot stop the run. So if Garendo plays, great news. I don't know that Patrick Taylor can be great, but they should be able to run the ball. Great point, Antonio. Please don't run Debo. You're not going to like what I have to say about Debo later. Actually, you might. David says, breakfast for dinner is fantastic. I'll even have a cup of coffee. That's another thing that we could tangent on. I do coffee 24/7, 365. It's just that only, this is weird, hot coffee in the morning, especially in, and my taste will change based on the weather. I'm sure you're the same way. Cold weather, I'm not doing iced coffee, but I love iced coffees and the such. Not, I'm not a Frappuccino guy and no whipped cream. Person walks out of Starbucks with like 10 pounds of whipped cream. It's like that Ike Austin story I told you earlier. Why am I gaining weight? Because you have 15 pounds of whipped cream on that Frappuccino, dude, or lady, or whomever. But yeah, I love iced coffee if I can do it, but this time of year, hot coffee is amazing. I can do breakfast for dinner, but then do like an iced coffee with it. Kidding me? And you might make fun of me, man, but I do like a mean, like Bailey's, Kahlua, the whole thing, and you make that into like a shaker. You make your own Frappuccino, but a boozy Frappuccino. Make fun of me. That's fine. That's fine. I live with it. If we're talking about the 49ers, you got to talk about injuries. This is a couple of days ago. Rap sheet ruled out Trent Williams. Mustafa's out. Garendo, questionable. I told you about 80% of the time over the last few years, questionable means they're going to play. The big story that I want to talk about is Dre Greenlaw. So we'll get to that in just a second. Put a pin in Dre Greenlaw. We're going to talk about it in just a second. But here, since you brought this up, I'm going to skip ahead to this because Antonio said, please don't run Debo. All right. I'm not sure how you're going to react to this, but you might be angry. And this chart, this graphic you're going to see is top-notch, A-grade professional. That's right. Look at that thing. All right, here is, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, Debo, 47 catches, 639 yards, 7 touchdowns in 9 games versus the Rams in his career. Let's conveniently, because it fits my narrative better, throw out this year's game because Debo has not been very good and wasn't against the Rams. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. He hasn't been good, and he wasn't good against the Rams earlier this year. I've conveniently, with my chicken scratch, covered over this year's game, kind of. But in the 5 previous games to this year's game in which he wasn't very good, 5 games, 32 catches, 503 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Look at that. You go back to 2020, that 11-catch game for 133. He's got a 5 for 97 and a touchdown, 6 for 95, 7 for 115 last year and a touchdown, and 9 for 63. In addition to that, that chicken scratch at the bottom there says 3 plus 3 rush TDs. That is awful and so unprofessional. Please get me some help. 3 rush TDs is what it says at the bottom. So 32, 503, and 2 in those 5 games, plus 3 rush touchdowns. I'm going to declare it now, and if I'm wrong, deny it, and delete this episode. I think tonight is going to be a Debo game. There, I said it. I think tonight is going to be a Debo game. You're going to get really angry, aren't you, Antonio? I know he's had a terrible year. I've been at the front of the bandwagon saying he's not going to be here next year, and there is no way with his salary and the fact that Ayuk's coming back. They're going to have Pearsall in the slot. Juwan Jennings is Juwan Jennings. He's, by the way, he's no more third than Juwan John. He's much better than that. So they're not going to need Debo around. And I've told you that I think he's lost his edge. I think he's lost a step. I think he's lost some burst. But he sees the Rams and plays really well. And that doesn't even include the playoff games that he's played so well in that we remember. So tonight, I'll say it, then delete this episode if it does not happen, and deny, deny, deny when you bring it up in the chat or anywhere else. I think it's going to be a Debo night tonight. And if I'm right, you don't want to tune into the show tomorrow because I'm going to be like, ha, 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 ha. So anyway, we'll see. We shall see. But that's what I'm saying. Senior softball games, no DraftKings sponsor. I'm sure I'll get that. I got to. How would they not like this show? Daryl says, I drink my coffee black too. No cream, no sugar. You, sir, are a man. If I'm on a diet, I can do black coffee. In fact, I don't hate it. If I get used to it, if I start drinking the black coffee day in and day out with nothing in it, then it's not a problem. I love the taste of coffee. Coffee, ice cream, coffee, anything. I love the taste of coffee. But I don't generally do it black. I don't put a ton of cream in it. I don't put any sugar in it. But, man, unless I'm in a rhythm with coffee, I don't know if that makes sense, that I don't do it straight black. Here is more on the 49ers and the Rams. And again, if you got any questions about tonight's game, I've extensively studied this game, and I do have a, as I said, another show that I did yesterday that is purely about the 49ers and the Rams that you can come and check out. But this is another one that I think is interesting. Here's Matthew Stafford, 10 games versus the 49ers. And the reason some people hate this stuff, some people say that, well, that's what it used to be. Well, the greatest indicator of the future is the past. You can steal that, and you don't even have to give me credit for it. The greatest indicator of the future is the past. And Matthew Stafford is 2-8 versus the 49ers in his career. And again, you see chicken scratch at the bottom, but this is a little bit neater. He's 1-5. That's what that 1-5 down in blue in the left-hand corner written by yours truly. 1-5 against the 49ers in his career. And the only one was which game, my friends? You know. The last time out was at week 2, week 3 against the 49ers, in which the 49ers had a 10-point lead and blew it. Thank you, special teams. Thank you, Mooney Man Ward, for giving up that long touchdown to Tutu Atwell after the special team screwed up. 1-5 career versus the 49ers, and it was the win earlier this year that they basically handed to the Rams. And that 7/7 at the bottom is 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, Matthew Stafford as a Ram against the 49ers. So if you look at, you can see at the bottom all his numbers against the 49ers lifetime, 15 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. As a Ram, he's 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. 1-5 career, and it was the earlier game this year. So impress your friends with that stat at the cubicle today. Whatever. Stafford's won one game as a Ram. Just show that, show him that and see what happens. Now, having said that, I would love to have Matthew Stafford. We went over this yesterday. They don't have Matthew Stafford because Sean McVay was more aggressive in Cabo, whatever the case may be. They wouldn't have had to trade for Trey Lance if they had done the Stafford deal. We know all that kind of stuff. The next year, they got Christian McCaffrey because they're like, the Rams aren't beating us out twice. They gave him a third. The Rams offered Cam Akers. McCaffrey's a 49er. So the one thing that scares me about Stafford, though, despite the numbers that I just threw up to try to impress you there, is that it's the pass rush. So to me, if Nick Bosa plays and gets pressure on 36, 37-year-old Matthew Stafford, who's still a really good athlete but not what he used to be, obviously, none of us are, then they have a chance. If Matthew Stafford sits back there and he's still got an elite arm strength, is Joe Flacco elite? He still has elite arm strength, and he can beat you. He reads defenses maybe as well as anybody in the league. No, he does. If you throw something at him, he's going to know what the hot is right away. He's going to know right where he needs to go with the ball. He burns so many teams doing that. Last week when the Bills came with a zero blitz and he just flipped it out to Nacua really quickly and calmly and coolly, and Nacua scores, and basically that was the difference in that game. You got to mix up your looks, and that's one of the reasons, despite the fact that I just threw that up there, it scares me with Nick Sorensen, because Nick Sorensen is we're bringing four no matter what. If Bosa's there, he is, but if he's not, we're still bringing four. Well, if Stafford is able to just sit back there and pick you apart, he's going to do it. If you try to throw things at him that he's seen, he's going to do it. You got to throw different stuff at him. You got to throw exotic looks at him. Not the whole game, but just every once in a while. And, of course, you know the difference in this game. I mentioned Debo and Juwan Jennings, by the way, in that last game, 11 for 175 and 3 touchdowns earlier this year. so I expect him to be huge. Remember, George Kittle did not play in this game earlier this year. Brandon Ayuk did, but really who didn't play that is the biggest impact tonight is Puka Nacua didn't play, Cooper Kupp didn't play, but you already knew that. So that's a little bit on that. All right, let me skip ahead to this because I don't know if he's going to play tonight. I have not checked my I have not checked my Twitter as much as I possibly could. So has anybody seen anything on Dre Greenlaw this? The 49ers plan. Oh my God. Look at that. On point. The 49ers plan to activate Dre Greenlaw, and he will make his 2024 season debut against the Rams on Thursday Night Football per rap sheet. Boom! Boy, that was lucky by me because I was going to go on to this whole thing about maybe he'll play. Maybe he'll play. This is great. So we can go on a thing about this. All right, here is... What do you think of that, by the way? Dre's playing. What do you think of that? How big of a difference for you? So here is Fred Warner. I think this is like 48 hours ago. Here's Fred Warner and asked by the great Larry Kruger. Here is Fred Warner talking about getting Dre Greenlaw back and how much it means.
It was great to see the defense fight like that in this game. How does it feel for you personally to know that Thursday night when you take the field that you may have Dre back?
Oh, yeah, it means everything. You know, I've been waiting for that moment for the entire season, right? And so to potentially have him out there again with me, it means everything.
All right. Let me give you a little insight into this. First and foremost, the one caveat we have to bring up first with Dre Greenlaw is you're coming off an Achilles injury. It's the most devastating injury in sports right now. It used to be the knee, all this kind of stuff. And they're getting better and better in the science of this, of course, because I'm a doctor. No, I'm not. but they tell me, those in the know, that they are getting better and better with this injury. But still, it is a devastating injury, the injury that ended Kobe Bryant's career. My friend Kevin Franzen ended his career. Did you know that? It's you're not moving the same. It takes you a long time, year and a half. A lot of people say, depending. Richard Sherman, it pretty much ended his career, changed him. So I don't know that Dre Greenlaw is going to be the Dre Greenlaw that we know. Just because he's out on the field wearing 57 and we all go, go, Dre, go. I say this many times. They didn't just fall out of a locker. These are real people, and I don't know how his Achilles is going to respond. Having said that, the linebacker play in his place has been, what's a nice word? No, I don't need a nice word. It's been horrendous. Campbell is. I don't know what happened with Devondre Campbell. He can't cover the pass. He's been better in the second half of the season or in the last few games, but he has been taken advantage of time and time and time again in the pass game. D. Winters is just too young. He runs around like he's on crack half the game. He overruns plays. Again, he's doing better. Jalen Graham is a nice young prospect, but he's not there yet. None of these guys are Dre Greenlaw. And so to get him back from a football standpoint, I'm not sure how well he's going to play tonight. So that's the football side of it. I got to be honest. I wish I could be like, he's going to do this because that's what people want out of you in my position. This is what he's going to do. I don't know with an Achilles injury. So I hate to say that because the worst thing you can say on our business, I don't know. Then you go back to fast time at Ridgemont High, and I'm going to put that on the board for all of my students to enjoy, Spicoli. So, yeah, you're not supposed to say that. But in terms of off the field, this is the one thing I do know. Because you saw the giddiness in the eyes of Fred Warner, who has dealt with his own injuries this year, and that's why part of the reason the defense has been so bad. And, yes, in the offseason, they need to address the defensive line. But even when they don't, Greenlaw and Warner, when they're healthy, they're that good. And so from an emotional standpoint, I know this because I've talked to many players on the 49ers offensively and defensively about it. Dre Greenlaw is one of those guys. He just gives you a lift. Talanoa Hufanga is one of those guys. So we sit there and we look at the stats and we look at the analytics and all these kind of things, but the non-tangible things, no, these are actually tangible things, that cannot fit in a box score or in a number, that's what Dre Greenlaw does. So he's going to elevate the play of the defense, I think, based on the fact that he's on the field. And then I would go so far as to say, and I 100% believe this, the way Dre Greenlaw was playing in the Super Bowl in Vegas against the Chiefs last February, he doesn't get hurt. Among all the weird things that happened, you know, 10 different things that happened, if would have been different, 49ers win the Super Bowl, number one on my list is Dre Greenlaw. He was playing like a bat out of hell. He was all over the place. Travis Kelce couldn't even get off the line. The Chiefs are looking at each other like, what in the hell? And he was leading the charge. He was playing by far the best. He had so much energy in that game. He leaves, And we're up in the booth. We've got Tim Ryan had the binoculars, and I was sitting behind him. Greg and Tim on all the broadcasts are in front of me, and then I sit in like a like the next table behind them. And so we were just sitting there, and Tim had the binoculars and actually saw it. And we were just, you know, it's between plays. The commercials are longer in the Super Bowl, right? And you're kind of like, can we get back to the game? And all of a sudden, Tim says, "What in the hell?" And we're like, "What?" He's like, "Dre Greenlaw just fell down." And we thought, he just slipped or something. He's going to get back up. He didn't. And so not only was it Dre Greenlaw leaves the game and Demetrius Flanagan fouls and Oren Burks have to cover Kelsey, and Kelsey, after screaming at Andy Reid in that game, caught like 8 or 9 balls after that, and nobody could cover him. It was just the emotion. I mean, Fred Warner's crying on the bench in the Super Bowl, and they dominated the first two possessions defensively, and here's Fred Warner crying because his best friend, literally on and off the field, just tore his Achilles by some freak reason. Like, what in the hell? I mean, those are the football guys, gods at the highest level. Like, clearly you don't want us to win this game. So anyway, I digress. Dre Greenlaw, from a football standpoint, I got to be honest with you, not a doctor, but you knew that. I'm not sure what he's going to bring to the table. An Achilles injury, we could tell you if it was an ankle or if it was even an ACL or, you know, get over it much quicker. An Achilles, it depends on the guy. And he's probably not going to have the burst and the speed that he's had, which is a mark of his game. Not tonight, and maybe at some point next year. And I know he came out of Arkansas running like he was a fifth-round pick, and he ran like a 4.7 something. So you're like, well, he wasn't ever that fast. But he's got the burst and the quickness and his eyes see, and he can just go. That's Dre Greenlaw. And he's a much better pass defender. You saw in the divisional game against Green Bay last year, he gets the interception. I mean, Dre Greenlaw is a great linebacker. Will he be a great linebacker tonight? Probably not. Will he be better than what we've seen? Hopefully. But I do know for a fact that he will give them an emotional push. Now, what will that mean? You know, 2 weeks in a row when you get Hufanga and you get Dre Greenlaw back, that's big. That's really big, and I think that's what these guys are pushing for. So that's the latest as far as Dre Greenlaw is concerned. We learned that together on the show today. 49ers plan to activate linebacker Dre Greenlaw. Will make his season debut against the Rams on Thursday Night Football. The first guy I saw have it is Rap Sheet. So what are your thoughts on that? Hit me up in the chat line on that. Let's see. Yeah, you tripping, you're right, man. The excitement of Mahomes when Greenlaw left was crazy. He was telling Andy Reid. Yeah, they had him mic'd up. That's right. They had him mic'd up, and everybody on the Kansas City sideline is like, in a respectful way, I think. You know, they weren't like, thank God Dre Greenlaw tore his Achilles. I mean, nobody's wishing that. But they were like, thank God this guy's not playing. Ugh. But that's great news for tonight. I remember Franz and great hair. Good friend of mine, great hair. And he still got it. Still got great hair. And he's 40-ish. Great hair. HR says, Greenlaw is good for a personal foul every game. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Go back to Philly. But they beat their ass that day. I am the law. You are right, Rockin'. He is the law. So anyway, somebody got my, Red Zone got my Flacco joke. Let's see, the tart drop. Oh, let's not, we can't talk about that. A little more coffee stories. All right, moving on. Where did that come from, HR? The Betty White story. I didn't know that. All right. All right, there is the latest on the 49ers. If you want more on the 49ers and the Rams, and I did, by the way, I did my top five in that. I don't do top five players. Guys like Matt Mayo can do that and do a tremendous job. So am I going to do better than that? No. But I do give you five things to watch, plus a couple other things, plus if you missed the whole Kyle Shanahan then and now that I played yesterday on the show, had yesterday on the show, where he looked like this really young guy and, you know, ready to go and ready to rip up the world. He's got the suit on with the interview with me and Tolbert, and then what he looks like now. So I put that in there. So there's some good stuff in there, but a lot of good information. So go over to that one if you want a full breakdown of the 49ers and the Rams tonight at Levi's Stadium. Please arrive early. All right. Let me stay on the football thing, and I hope that you'll find this as entertaining as me. One of the things that's going on right now, one of the bigger stories in the NFL, is people breaking into these guys' houses when they know that they're gone. So this isn't the first time, but maybe a few weeks ago or a month ago, it happened in Kansas City, and these people hit both Patrick Mahomes' house and Travis Kelce's house when they were playing. I think it was on a Monday Night Football game. They both got robbed. And then it happened to Joe Burrow this week. I guess there was a supermodel at his house. How nice is that? But anyway, she's the one who called the cops. So Joe Burrow's house gets hit when he's playing. And that was on Monday Night Football against the – he was in Dallas against the Cowboys. So they're just thinking, well, that dude's gone. Well, Tua Tagovailoa has taken matters into his own hands. And remember how I'm always telling you that these players and coaches and agents and all these people, they use the media? Well, here's Tua Tagovailoa giving a message to anyone who might want to rob his house.
I have personal security just because – My house had gotten broken into, not necessarily my house, but one of my cars. And so it's a little too close for my comfort with my family being in the house. So we got personal security to take care of all of that when we're on the road. We got someone with my wife, got, you know, someone also at the house, surveying the house. So just to let that be known, they are armed. So I hope if you decide to go to my house, you think twice.
Not robbing Tua's house. How crazy is that, though? You know, these guys are thinking, and this is why, like, you got to be careful. Like, Facebook, I don't think people do this as much anymore. I'm not on Facebook. I actually just joined to put the show on there, but personally I'm not on there. Because people would put pictures of themselves, and they're in the Bahamas or Mexico or Florida or wherever. They're up in wine country. Hey, I'm having wine. And then they can look down, these people who are into this kind of stuff can look, these bad dudes or bad people can look at this stuff, and it's like, it's tagged at like 11:43 a.m. and it's like noon. It's like, clearly you're not at your house, you're in wine country. Clearly you're not at your house, you're in the Bahamas. And then they go over to your house and they rob you. So they're just thinking to themselves, all right, well, Joe Burrow's playing on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys. That's where I'm going. And people are, you're hitting me up on the text line, and you couldn't be more right. All you guys, all you people, all you fine people. Dude, you know how much money you have? Like, you don't have the top-notch security system. I think, doesn't Tesla, because Kim Kardashian showed this off the other day, didn't Elon give her one of those robotic dogs? Like, if I'm Joe Burrow, I'm making $55 million a year. I think those robotic dogs are $35,000 a pop, which to me and you is like, are you kidding me? I can't have a robotic dog. I'm just going to have a stray from the, you know, I got to go down to the shelter and get one for like $50. That's as much as I can afford. But these Tesla robotic dogs are like $35,000, and they'll literally rip your face off. And they'll run forever. It's like, can I outrun that dog? It's a robotic dog. It goes like 1,000 miles an hour. It's like a NASCAR running after you with a big sharp pair of alligator teeth. So why don't all these guys like invest in like 3 or 4 robotic dogs? Maybe have, you know, one of your buddies stay at the house. I have some security, lots of cameras. I mean, just the robotic dog. Get 4 of them. That's $140,000. I'm not a math guy, you know, tax and all those kind of things. But $35,000 a pop, 70 is 2, 140 is 4. Get like 4 of those dogs, and they just rotate around your house. Getting robbed? Joe Burrow's got a supermodel in his house. What's she going to do? Nothing. I need a robotic silverback. Is that the coolest nickname ever? Trent Williams is the silverback. That is such a cool nickname. All right, what else do we got? I got a couple more things here. We've almost been going 2 hours. I feel bad because I was late. Senior softball, get Franny on the show. I will. Tell him Franny sent you. Franny is the best, man. Yeah, we'll talk baseball with Franny. In fact, that's a great idea. That is a great idea. Draymond Greenlaw. Yeah, he gets pissed. I think he's just going to be happy tonight. I think he's going to be happy to be back. I don't think he's going to get mad. I don't think he's going to get angry. Let's see. Is that Shante? Shante. Welcome. I haven't seen you before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's spread the word, man. Let's get the community huge around here. Let's see. What else do we got? Daryl, Antonio, HR, all you guys, man. Thank you so much. We're not done. We're not done here. And if you got any thoughts, questions, comments on anything we've talked about, just a review if you're jumping back in. As you see, the chalkboard on the right side, we do this every morning at 8 a.m. or every weekday, Saturdays and Sundays, as needed. But Kerr goes off. We went through that. Golden State LeBron, that's because of Windhorse. We went through that. Chapel Bill, get it? That's already so overused right now. And we ran the jokes, as you know we would on this show. 49ers preview. We did some of that. I didn't give you all of it. We got a separate show that's already out on the YouTube channel and podcast. You can check out Debo Knight. I have boldly gone where no man has gone, at least for a long time, saying that it's going to be a Debo Knight tonight, your MLB update. We haven't done that yet. My God, we're almost 2 hours in the show. No Corbin Burns talk. Here is a little bit of Scott Boras. He is the agent for one Corbin Burns. Here's what he says.
You expected in the pitching market?
You know, I think the for pitching and Corbin Burns, it's kind of like Elvis. You know, he's got that Burnsing love for a number one starter. You are really feeling it today and very early this morning for me, I might add. Yeah.
He is so cringeworthy, isn't he? He is. I mean, he's like the king of dad jokes. Like, he does that every single year, like with every player. He has to have some kind of a pun, and he has this grin on his face. Like, eh. I mean, I'm just saying it because I'm jealous. You know how much money that guy makes in a year? And he's really – I was going to say he's having a comeback off season. Like, you know, he got Snell some money and he got Chapman some money. And I mean, ridiculous. But he does those puns that he doesn't need to. So I just wanted to play that for you because it's really annoying. This one I'm afraid about, and people have hit me up on Twitter, at John Lund Radio. People have hit me up on Twitter on this because Bob Nightingale is wrong so many times. And so it says right here, are you afraid of this tweet? It says the San Francisco Giants are the heavy favorites for Burns. While the Mets are trying to bring back Alonso, he continues to say, Corbin Burns, Pete Alonso up next after $1.3 billion, billion dollars spent at the baseball winter meetings. Officially, the winter meetings are over. And yeah, Bob Nightingale, when he tweets something out, if like, if it's passing, Mark Feinsand is really good. Joel Sherman is a guy who just regurgitates what other people say. John Heyman's blocked me, but he's still pretty good. Don't tell him I said that, or I'll say that I'll deny it till I die. But Bob Nightingale's a guy where it's like, oh my God, really? Because the opposite is going to happen when Nightingale says that. It seems to be, the latest seems to be that it's between the Blue Jays, who are absolutely positively desperate because people forget they're up in Canada. Hey, what's up? It's the Blue Jays, eh? And everybody forgets that the Blue Jays are a major market team. And they tried to get Ohtani. Remember that whole thing last year where, like, Ohtani's on the plane and it was the guy from, what's the Cuban show? From Shark Tank. It was the guy from Shark Tank. And him and his kids get off the plane and everybody thought it was Ohtani. He's like, what the hell? So the Blue Jays go after guys. It doesn't mean they're going to get everybody or anybody for that matter just because it's like, oh, I got to go up and play in Canada. Beautiful city, wonderful, but, you know, it's kind of a pain to go in and out. So they're a major market team and they want Corbin Burns apparently. The Red Sox did want Corbin Burns, but they made a trade for Garrett Crochet, so they seem to be out of it, even though I think they could be in it for like, I think everybody's in for Oki Sasaki, by the way. By the way, not to get sidetracked, and we'll continue to talk about Corbin Burns here and the chances that the Giants get him. The sleeper to me for Oki Sasaki, and we went on that whole thing yesterday, and I'd love Sasaki to come to the Giants, and I told you, and you already know this, this is going to come out of international pool money. It's not going to be a bid. It's not going to be Yamamoto's $325 million. He's 23. He's giving up a lot of money in the short term. He is essentially going to go where he feels like it's the best fit, kind of like when Ohtani came over the first time. You know, he came over one time, but he signed with the Angels, and it was because he was a little bit shy. It was a major market, but he didn't want to be like the spotlight of the Dodgers, and he didn't sign for a ton. I mean, the Angels gave him the money, but it's international bonus pool money, so it's not like it's going to be a ton of money. It's going to be where he fits, and that's what Ohtani did. He's like, I don't want the spotlight right away, so I'm going to come here. Major market, second team. Seattle, I have friends up in Seattle, and we were texting back and forth yesterday, and they were like, I'm telling you, man, we're hearing a lot of stuff. And remember, Ichiro works for the Mariners in their front office. I think he's kind of more like, it's kind of like a, you know, he's not the GM or anything, but they've had a lot of guys in Seattle, a lot of Japanese players in Seattle, but I'm sure that Ichiro has a lot of influence. So I'm hearing that Sasaki, the Mariners could be a dark horse for him. The Padres are obviously there. The Dodgers are going to be there. So, it's not about throwing money at somebody. Buster, we talked about this yesterday, didn't seem like he was overly enthusiastic, although he loves the player. Now, in terms of Corbin Burns, I'd love for them to get this done. There are other guys out there. A lot of people who do a great job covering the Giants are talking about guys like Sonny Gray and a few other guys that are on the trade market. Trade market is not going to materialize until Burns signs. So from what we hear, and Susan Slusser and Andrew Baggerly and all these great people do a tremendous job covering the Giants, they're in on Corbin Burns, but it could come down to the Blue Jays and the Giants. And as I've said many times since this whole process started, how willing are the Giants to go to a number that the Blue Jays will go to? That's what it's going to come down to. And we've heard that Corbin Burns from Bakersfield, of course pitched at St. Mary's, wants to come home to the Giants. That scares you because Aaron Judge, that whole thing. Not everybody wants to come home, as we've talked about a million times. Corbin Burns would like to play here, all things being equal, but let's say the Giants are offering $200 million, or we've heard the number 218 or 220, and the Blue Jays are offering 245. Now, $25 million, that's a lot of money. So if it's close, I think Corbin Burns would come here. If it's $20 or $30 million, most people, and I've told you this time and time again, it's always about the money. It always is. Okay, 99% of the time. We went over that yesterday. Certain guys will give back, Tom Brady, etc. But 99.99999% of the time, it's about money. So if the Giants don't give close to the biggest offer, so Corbin Burns can say, look, I know me and you wouldn't do this, but like the difference of $10 million for a player making that kind of money, it's like, eh, rather be home. If you're talking $25 or $30 million, that keeps you up at night, or you're laying there going, I gave up $30 million. I can't do that. So that's the latest on Corbin Burns. We should hear something, and I am trying to keep that up to date. But, yeah, it's not a great sign when Bob Nightingale says that it's close for your team, and then you're like, oh, no. It's not like John Heyman calling him Arson Judge, but still, it's kind of close. All right, couple of things I want to do before we get out of here. Real quick, Perry, you're talking about Sasaki. He's 23. He's got 100-mile-an-hour stuff. He's got seven different pitches. He's not going to be as established as Corbin Burns. They're certainly not going to pitch him, you know, 200 innings. They're going to start him out slow from what we hear. But, you know, you heard Buster Posey yesterday. I mean, he loves the guy. All right, I just wanted to bring this up. A couple of things before we get out of here. I'll call these things caboose-ish. I saw this yesterday, and I love, you know, I love my cocktails. I'm not as much of a beer guy. Tom Tolbert is more of a beer guy, more of a cocktail guy. And if I was forced to, I like drinks that are whiskey-based for the most part. So I was thinking about this yesterday, and I wanted to ask you a question. Eggnog guy in the holidays? Eggnog guy? Or person? Or lady? Or a young lady? What do you think? Eggnog. Give me your thoughts. It says, Bad Santa is a, this is from My Bartender, Bad Santa is a bold mix of eggnog and bourbon. You had me at bourbon. Garnished with nutmeg and cinnamon. I don't need to make homemade. I've seen all these, you know, things, homemade eggnog, all that stuff. All you got to do, if you're an eggnog person, now that sounds pretty good to me. But if you're an eggnog person, I don't think you can do whatever you want. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. But if you are an eggnog person, putting the booze in there and the bourbon and all that kind of stuff and microwaving it, no. Put it in like a saucepan, like you're going to heat up soup or something. Do it slow, stir it around, put in bourbon, do the eggnog thing. And then that looks pretty good. You garnish it with the nutmeg and cinnamon. That sounds pretty good. Now, it looks like that one's iced. Is that ice in there or no? Yeah, it is, because that's a cocktail glass. So I don't know what it would be iced. I guess it would be all right, iced. I like it warm. Again, it's the wintertime. You and I had this conversation about coffee about a half hour or so ago. But it's one of those things, too, where you just eggnog never, right? Except during the holidays. And then you could probably drink, what, two? Maybe two? If you're not a whiskey guy, I would tell you that spiced rum is great in eggnog. Spiced rum is really, really good. And again, it's important. The saucepan, so you heat it up slowly and you stir it during the whole time, and then you do it. If you're having like friends over or something, you could even put it in a crock pot. Now, if you're going to town and you're having a party, go crock pot eggnog, either whiskey or spiced rum, not both. And then you could have a little bit of a cinnamon thing, you know, to put a little cinnamon on the top, and people would think you're an incredible host. So yeah, you could go crock pot, keep it on low, and then you got drinks all night. You don't have to mess with the drinks. So anyway, Bad Santa. Hadn't heard of it being called a Bad Santa, but it just kind of popped into my mind. Eggnog, yay or nay? Eggnog, yay or nay? Yeah, don't nuke it in the microwave. I mean, if you're just having a quick one, yeah, it'll work. It's just, you know, I don't know why it's better in the saucepan. You stir it all around. It just is. Eggnog, orange whip, eggnog. Give me your thoughts on eggnog. All right, I'm going to play a clip. Do I have anything else besides this? I think that's it. This is going to be the last clip that I play today. And again, at John Lund Radio on Instagram, make sure that you're following the show, at John Lund Unleashed, all those kind of things, and telling all your friends. I really appreciate the way that you've built the community in this first, like, I think this is episode 8. I think it's the 8th show we've done, and we're like at 11 or 1,200 subscribers already, and it's a lot of it is due to you saying, hey, man, you should check out the show. I've heard it from people saying, hey, man. Surfer Bob, I will. I'll get to that comment in just a second. I'll get to that comment. In fact, you know what? I'll say it now. Somebody said that nepotism killed KNBR. And again, I'm not at liberty to say anything in terms of, you know, like I said, I walked on a high wire in radio for 28 years. I was at KNBR since 2000. I was at 95.7 The Game when they started in 2011. I was there on the first day through 2016, started working with Tom in 2016, started working with Greg again in 2019, and then I was there through November 15th. This is not a KNBR issue. This is a radio issue. I mean, it's just what it is that the revenue is going from the radio, especially in an advanced market that is so cutting edge as the Bay Area and San Francisco. It's going to podcasts and it's going to different things. Radio now competes with every medium. It competes with YouTube right now with me. It competes with Instagram, anything that you can get on your phone, anything you can get in your car. 75 to 80% of sports radio listening is done in the car. So I don't know about you, but I have a Tesla and it's got all these different apps and everything like that. And it's got podcasts and stuff across the country. And I have, I'm sure just like you, hundreds of choices to what to listen to. And it's all up to me. And so it's not the old days. It's not an AM radio. And it's hard now for radio to compete. That's just what it is. So it's not an issue of anything other than finances. It's a financial issue of what's going on in radio, and it's not just here. It's going on across the country. It's ad people are making decisions saying we're going to put our money here, and there are so many different places that you can put it. That what's happened is it's just like sports. We talk about it all the time. The revenue, the pie, it's growing or it's not. And so that's really the problem there, but it's not a problem of just one radio station. It's the industry itself. And not everything, because of technology, not everything lasts forever. Think about all the things that technology has taken away from us. And it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it is a bad thing. There are no Blockbuster stores anymore. Can you imagine? Let me go to a Blockbuster or one of those red boxes outside of a 7-Eleven. Are those around? Like, I got to go get a video. I got to go get a red box. When my son, who's going to be 21 next month, damn. When he was a kid, on Fridays, we'd go to Blockbuster. All right, pick out a video game, pick out a couple of movies. So he'd get out of my hair, and I'd be like, here's two movies and here's a couple of video games. We'd go to Blockbuster. And, like, the biggest movie, it's like, oh, that movie's out. What a bummer. Like, movie's out? What are you talking about? What, do you have a rotary dial phone on your wall? Like, technology just, that's what it does. And if you don't evolve, then technology rolls you over like a steamroller. I mean, that's just what happens. So anyway, I'll address that. By the way, I'm not here to bash radio because I got a bunch of friends that are still in it, not only here, but across the country. And I hope it works because it's been a great medium for me and it's fed my family for 28 years. So I'm not anti-radio guy at all. All right. Let me play this just because this is a great way to end. And by the way, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, on anything that we have discussed today. We can go back to Steve Kerr at the beginning of the show. Let's see, make sure I'm not missing anything here. All right, let me do this for you, because I think this is fun. So I missed this yesterday, and my favorite actor is Jack Nicholson. I have a great Jack Nicholson story. I'm going to tell it real quick, and I'm going to play this Jack Nicholson, because A Few Good Men came out. It was yesterday, 1992, yesterday. So what's that, 32 years ago. Wow, 32 years ago it came out. And, of course, there's that iconic scene that I think is awesome in Jack Nicholson. I mean, I can play Jack Nicholson scenes the whole rest of my life, but it gives me a reason to tell a Jack Nicholson story, and then I'll play this clip for you. So I was working in Salt Lake City. I'm working the NBA Western Conference Finals. And it's the Lakers versus the Jazz. I think I talked to you about this the other day when I hit Shaq. Was that yesterday? When I hit Shaq in the mouth with the microphone. So, and that was the same series when Kobe was a rookie, threw up the air balls and all that kind of stuff. And I was assigned the Lakers locker room. So I told you that what I used to do is we'd have a show that was courtside doing the pregame show. And they would give me a live mic. Those crazy people would give me a live mic. And they would just say, walk around the arena. You know, I was in what's called Q. So in other words, I was talking. A producer could hear me in their headset, but I wasn't going over the air. So the producer would keep me in Q. They couldn't hear me. The broadcasters couldn't hear me. It wouldn't go over the air. And especially during you know, Western Conference Finals or an NBA Finals or something like that. There was just, I mean, there was celebrities left and right. I'm running around. I have an interview on a cassette that I still have, and I don't know, cassette players even. Steve Young, me and Steve Young doing an interview in 1998, and Steve Young's trying to blow me off at the NBA Finals, and I just wasn't having it. Because I'm a young reporter, and it's like Steve Young in Utah is like God. And so it's like I have God, and he's trying to get away from me, and I'm running around after him. I'll play that at some point. It's hilarious. But to stay on point, players are, you know, there's a ton of media in the Western Conference Finals and everything, and there's a bunch of guys on the court, and they're messing with guys who are actually trying to prepare for the game. But all of a sudden, there is a parting of the sea, right? There's a parting of the sea, and everyone's like, who the hell's coming? It must be somebody important. It's Woody Harrelson and Jack Nicholson. It was awesome. They're walking right towards me. I'm standing on the floor with my microphone and my headphones, and they're coming right at me. And, you know, I've been doing this so long that you're not intimidated by or in awe of athletes anymore, only because you've talked to them so many times and it's, you know, been there, done that kind of a thing, and you're kind of desensitized to it for athletes. There are certain ones. Steph Curry certainly has that aura. Michael Jordan had that aura. There's certain ones that are different than others. But for the most part, if you've done it long enough, you're kind of desensitized to it. But when, like, actors, actresses, politicians, like, certain people, you know, are in your presence, and you're just like, wow, right? So Jack's my favorite actor. Jack Nicholson's walking right towards me, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And I kind of just froze. There's Anthony Kiedis, the lead singer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That was cool. I actually talked him up. He was an awesome guy. We had him on. I think he dropped a couple F-bombs. We had to go away from that one. But same day, here comes Jack Nicholson, and I'm just like, wow, and I'm frozen. And he goes down, and of course he sits in the front row, and it's probably, I don't know, 50 feet from me. And so I tell the producer, I said, because they're in the middle of a segment, I tell the producer, hey, I'm going to go try to talk to Jack Nicholson. So I walk down, I'm kind of shaking a little bit, I'm intimidated by Jack Nicholson, Woody Harrelson sitting there, Woody's cool, and I say, hey, what's up, Woody? And then Jack Nicholson has like two handlers by him. And the one handler, I step up to him because, you know, I'm not going to just barge in and start talking to Jack Nicholson. And I say to one of the handlers, older guy, I say to him, I said, you know, John Lund from the Utah Jazz Radio Network, do you think that I could get Jack on to talk some Lakers and Jazz for just a minute? And he says, looks at me like, why don't you ask him? And I said, all right. So I go to Jack Nicholson and I go, sir, and I shake his hand. And I didn't realize it at the time, but when I was shaking his hand, I didn't let it go. And I was probably squeezing it like within inches of my life. So I'm squeezing Jack Nicholson's hand. He's kind of looking at me like, what the hell, bro? And he kind of looks, tilts his head, and I say to him, you know, hey, Jack, John Lund from the Utah Jazz Radio Network, we'd love to have you on for a couple of minutes right here. We can just talk for a couple of minutes, talk about the, you know, your fandom of the Lakers, you know, Jazz, whatever. I'm not saying it this clearly. I'm going, and he looks at me up and down, and he says, you know, I like to do radio, but I don't feel like doing radio today. That's my best Jack. That's as good as it gets. And he did a movie like that. I didn't even mean to do that. But he said, I don't feel like doing radio today. And it was like, it was the best thing of my life. I didn't even care that he turned me down. I finally, my hand is sweating, I finally pull it away from Jack Nicholson, and I just said, well, thanks anyway, man, big fan. You know, like everybody says, big fan. And I walk away, and, it, you know, even though he turned me down, it was like, that was the greatest moment of my life. I don't feel like doing radio today. Anyway, there it is. That sounds more like Johnny Carson, but that's my story. All right, 32 years ago, yesterday, I'm pissed because wait until they get a load of me. Very nice, very nice. I love that. Anyway, yeah, best Jack Nicholson. If you got a good Jack Nicholson, send it to me. I'll play it on the show. Like I said, always interact with the show because if you hit me up at John Lund Radio, I'll take screenshots of everything and I'll ask the questions and so forth. So make sure that you always interact. And if you don't like something about the show, you like something about the show, Lund, you tell too many stories, whatever, let me know. We just want to make the show better for you. All right, 32 years ago yesterday, I'm pissed that I missed it, but is this Jack's best or is, you know, God, there's so many good ones. So many good ones. Here's Johnny. That one's probably better, but this one's one of my favorites.
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook.
Damn,
you coerced the doctor.
Consider yourself in contempt.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
I mean, like Tom Cruise is like, what the what? I mean, the greatness of Jack Nicholson, there's Tom Cruise and Demi Moore and, you know, all these stars in this movie. And Jack just, I mean, he was incredible in that movie. I'm not saying it was his best. I'm just saying it's an excuse to play Jack Nicholson because 32 years ago yesterday, and I was pissed at myself yesterday after the show because I had this in my notes and I forgot. So I just wanted to play it. I don't know if you're as big of a Jack fan as I am, but it also gave me an excuse to tell the story about the Western Conference Finals back in the day. So I wanted to do both of those things. So there you go. And I think that is a perfect way to end the show with a little bit of Jack Nicholson. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I mean, you go on and on, but I just wanted an excuse to play that for you. Remember that in the movie? Did you watch that in the movie theater too? Remember the movie theater when he said, "Damn right I did!" And then everybody's like, "Oh, oh, oh." Good movie. 32 years ago. That's a long. Anyway, such a good movie. Yeah, AJ, you're right. Anybody else? Any thoughts? He did not blink once. You're right. Maybe there's some editing in there, but I mean, just incredible. I mean, could you imagine? The other thing I was thinking, sorry to go on a tangent here. The other thing I was thinking was, if you're filming that scene and you're behind the scenes, right, and you're watching that scene go down, and you're just watching the greatness of Jack Nicholson just nail that scene. Now, I don't know if that took 50 takes or whatever the take. Maybe cut, cut, cut. Damn it, Jack, let's go. I thought you were a one-take guy. So maybe, you know, maybe it took 50 times. But, I mean, the final product is just like, are you kidding? Dude is awesome. Awesome. All right, I think that's it. What else, what else, what else? Have I missed anything or anyone? If you want to hit me up on anything that we talked about today or any other thing, make sure that you hit me up at John Lund Radio. As I tell you all the time, I can show you all the places that you can reach me, but, you know, come on. There we go, at John Lund Radio. Make sure that you hit me up. And any questions, comments, thoughts, what you like about the show, what you don't about the show, whatever it is. Oh, Jack is a joker. How did I forget that one? Enrique, good call. Yeah, Jack in the original, not the original Batman, but the first Batman with Michael Keaton as Batman. Yeah, that's hard. That's what I mean. We could sit here all day and just talk about Jack. Go Niners, Thursday night game. You have decided, by the way, do not forget, you have decided that we will have a chat after this game. So we will do that. By the way, I'm on with Damon Bruce tonight. I don't know the details of it. Hang on one second before you go anywhere. I know you're busy. I know you got stuff to do. I know I've kept you way too long today. It's 12 after 10. We've been on for 2 hours. Let's see. Did we back and forth? Let's see. Doing the watch parties during the game. Bringing in guests for the second quarter like the Manning cast want to join me Thursday for the Rams game. And I said, absolutely, of course. So I'll be on with Damon Bruce tonight in the second quarter of the game. If you go over to Damon's channel tonight, I will be on with Damon in the second quarter of the game like the Manning cast. And I'll try not to be terrible. Like when they brought on Schwarzenegger and he had the donkey on the Manning cast, it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? So anyway, second quarter tonight with Damon Bruce on his channel on YouTube, second quarter, kind of like the Madden cast, and we will hang out and we will talk Niners and Rams, and then you and I and all of our friends after the game will do a chat after the Niners take on the Rams. Last plug, and I'm sorry plugging all this stuff, I do have a Rams 49ers preview show out right now on the YouTube channel and on my podcast at John Lund Unleashed. So if you want to just do a whole thing, just on Rams 49ers, got a bunch of stats, a little bit of what I went over today, but a lot more in-depth videos. Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay talking about playing on Thursday Night Football. So there's some things that I omitted, of course, from today's show that I have on that broadcast or that podcast or that YouTube show. So make sure that you check out that as well. I'll be on with Damon Bruce tonight, again, second quarter over on his channel, the Damon Bruce channel on YouTube. So make sure that you check that out as well. If you stop it. If you missed anything, if I didn't hit up your questions, all you have to do is put it on the comments down here, and I get back to as many as I can, if not all. If I haven't gotten back to you, it just means I haven't gotten to it yet, but I will get back to them all. I pride myself on that at John Lund Radio. I think that's it. Great addition on a Thursday. I was a little bit late, but I was trying to get all this Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Rockets, Warriors stuff together. It's no excuse, but I stayed late because I like hanging out with you, but I also knew that I had to make it up to you some way. So tonight with Damon Bruce, tonight for a chat after the game. Damon, I'm going to be on Damon's channel tomorrow at 8 a.m. for the Friday edition, and you know how Fridays get. Loose! We get loose on Fridays. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for spreading the word. I really mean it. It's been so fun hanging out with everybody, and we're going to keep doing it. At John Lund Unleashed on the YouTube channel and the podcast as well. Have a wonderful Thursday. We'll talk to you tonight after the Niners, and we'll also see you on Damon Bruce's channel during the second quarter of the game. Adios, amigos. Happy Thursday.